Yeah. Oh, this is like, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to, because I was in the car and I thought of it. And it's funny, but we should call this episode Two Hawks and One Wolf.
Welcome. Here we go.
And I'm not Tony Hawk. Hey everybody, it's Jason Ellis and Tony Hawk. Hawk vs. Wolf, greatest podcast of all time in the history of the universe.
What he said about our podcast, and we have decks that are of the podcast.
Signed by the greatest skateboarder of all time in the history of the universe, and me.
Two decks, go side by side, signed by each of us, right there. Black with silver.
I love this board so much.
Tim Baring art on both of these.
Shout out to Tim, and get yourself one of these bad boys.
Black and silver, diptych. Available now.
Get one today.
You can get it at TonyHawk.com and in the shop right there. There's a little menu, upper right, shop, see both of these. Click add to cart, and we hope you give it to someone that has liked and described already.
Yeah. Make sure you do that if you haven't.
Thank you.
Hey, Jason.
Tony Hawk.
Riley Hawk's here. Two Hawks versus one Wolf.
Oh, that's not cool.
And he does jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so but you got to get me to the ground before it's going to start working. I'll switch both of you biscuit chins off real quick.
Jason would definitely kill me in a real fight.
He does.
That's right. You guys.
He came to me with like, because he saw me. Tell me the truth. You asked for boxing. You were like, hey, do you know somebody good Muay Thai? Because you see me slip a punch from Volkanovski. And you were like,
wait, you did? No, I've never seen
that. You didn't see that?
No.
Well, then there goes that whole theory.
Theory.
Yeah, Volkanovski, like one of the greatest MMA fighters in the world alive, pound for pound.
Is that a rough go?
Slipped. Yeah, before that.
Yeah.
But he threw jabs and I slipped him. And I was like, fast as you want. And he's like, really? I'm like, fast, go for it. What's up, bitch? He got me a couple times, but I slipped more than one of those punches. And he was like, check him out. And I was like, hey, you don't know me. A lot of people
But
don't
you've
know
always
me.
Focused more on boxing, right? Than
Yeah. You have, like, longer legs, and I know that that's good for jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also just
wait,
like...
Wait, you guys met up at your gym?
No, he hit me up about getting better hands and feet. And I was like, if you ask me... It means you know I know.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're that good at jiu-jitsu, it means you don't just call bums for good hands. You call somebody who knows. And he knew I knew. That was my theory anyway.
Yeah. I didn't see that video, but now I want to see it.
I'll show it to you.
Yeah, after got it saved.
I knew it was going to be about you somehow.
I posted it on my Instagram, dude. Yeah.
We get Riley here, and I knew it was going to turn, of course.
Yeah,
but it's going to turn about.
Yeah, it has to.
I'm going to turn it into a story about me.
Absolutely.
Damn right. What the hell am I here for?
That is a good story,
right? It is. Yeah. Like, because if you know fighting,
yeah, he knows. Well,
and a guy that's he's really fast too. Like he's known for being really fast. And I was like, yeah, right.
Yeah, I would think.
It was just like we were talking earlier about your backside Smith grind, which is funny because you both have it where you can do backside Smith grind on vert real easy. And I'm a Smith grind guru. I love frontside Smith grind. It's super easy for me to do that. Yeah, I will toot my own horn. But when it comes to backside Smith grind, I'm real bad at it. Like one of the worst I've ever seen. And then you told me that you think a backside Smith feels safer than a 50-50. And that...
Yeah, on certain coping at least for me. And on this ramp, whenever I backside 50, I feel like I'm just... I don't know. I'm just floating. I don't feel like I'm ever locked in or like
you're not doing
in control.
Speed.
No, it's like no, as it's soon as trick, like yeah. it's like survival. I'm like I feel like I'm like launching up to landing on a 50-50 and just hoping for the best.
Backsmith, you can stay in too. So I get and you can just let it drop.
Yeah, I can't.
I don't know. I just think from being doing it on ledges and it feels more like a ledge on vert to me than a rail.
That makes sense.
I wish I could say that.
No, we both cannot. But a ledge, I kind of get it. But I just can't. I feel like I get too far back on them because I don't want to get caught and fall forward.
Yeah.
And I never am in the right spot. I'm always too far back.
Yeah. I mean, when I do it, it's like maybe a 6 inches at most. It's not like
on
I'm
vert?
Yeah, it's not like I'm just sitting on it like a Jimmy or someone who just they just grind like the whole.
Let me ask you this, because I remember when you were a little kid and you skated in huck jams and stuff when you had all your pads on and you were a little kid and you could like do this. We would do the step up together and you did more tricks than I did up the step up, which is fine. But you were so little, but I never really saw you ride vert until you were like an adult. Did you ride vert ramps when you were a little kid, or was it just because you seem more of a street guy?
I think I would just skate more like, honestly, more bowls, I feel like.
Right.
Like at parks, which is kind of the equivalent of like nowadays vert type skating, I guess.
It was also just sort of more a product of his environment, too.
Yeah.
He was with me a lot at vert demos and bowl demos, and then he just would put his pads on and start skating. And so he got used to that style.
And right.
He also street skated too, but at some point he realized that, I mean, you can.
But you just always had more of a, to me it looked like you had more of a natural ability to skate parks than a vert ramp.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just because I just spend more time there. I don't know. I guess, I feel like a lot of kids back then were really good at both. Like, they grew up at the Y.
It was like the Scheckler era.
Yeah, like Taylor Smith was way almost better on vert than he was on street for a long time, mm-hmm. and then he kind of just started going more street. But did you ever do
vert tricks? Like your fundamental,
you can do like backside airs and frontside airs. Yeah,
you can do backside airs and frontside airs.
Yeah,
because you can skate pools good, right?
Okay. I mean, I'm not ripping them, but I can carve around.
Right, but you do like ledge stuff in a pool more than you would do, like, you're not going to do a handplan in a pool.
No, I'd rather do like a backside tail slide or something like that.
Right, which is, see, that's the, like, a backside tail slide in a pool is crazy for
yeah,
me.
So, yeah, that's just off limits.
Right?
Like,
yeah,
no,
I'm like,
it's not happening.
Yeah, you would rather do that. I'd rather like dodge a bullet. Like, that's crazy.
I think that's like the park mentality, because it's like, yeah. I feel like you see a lot more of that nowadays in those park contests.
Yeah.
Like, crazy long nose grinds and backsmiths and tail slides and stuff.
Which is forever impressive to me. Everybody that does those frontside nose grinds on concrete, I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa. And like, I've been to the last X Games where there was like a huge group of the girls that were doing stand up frontside nose grinds, a couple of them around the corner.
It's like a standard now, I feel.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah.
And that's not, to me, that's not standard. That's all out.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever really gotten unlucky on one of those on transition, but I've definitely done it on like bank to rail type spots where you flip your heel and you're just folding chair backwards on your head. Yeah.
Not cool.
Yeah, that one sucks. But I feel like I always get away somehow on transition with it. Like, if I don't get in, I somehow can, I don't know, get out of it. But
because you've got park legs.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like,
well, he know, like he knew how to knee slide from an early age.
Right. It's, you have a park, you have a, like, it, to me, it's the easiest way to explain it is if I do something incorrectly on the street course, I'm going to go down so hard.
Yeah.
Like, getting out of it is like a trick in itself. I'll never forget Rick McCrank going down a double kink and he missed it and he ran down the rail and I was like, I'd put that in my video part if I did that. Like, I couldn't believe he could run down it so easily.
Yeah, I've gotten away with some ones when I watch back. I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't.
Yeah, but you have
get
also
wrecked.
Had the worst case scenarios on those as well.
Yeah, nowadays you see a lot of the dudes that skate those kink rails, they're so low, they'll just, if they miss, they just kind of like, it's almost like rollerblading where they like slide out onto their butt and then they just like grab the rail. I don't know, it's crazy if you watch like process of people doing those crazy curve kink rails now, they get away with it somehow just every time.
So you think that people have got better at getting out
for of sure yeah like the technique is like way more advanced now to skate like those crazy, it's not just ollie and hope for the best,
which would allow you to try more stuff if you can get out, like, because I feel like if you do it wrong and you take a giant slam, it's kind of, the day's over.
Yeah, I mean, even if I skate one of those kink rails, I don't just go for it first try. I kind of like try to ollie and touch it and run down the other side or run down the stairs. I don't want to just
so frightening,
right? running down the other side.
But you see a lot of, that's how a lot of people do it now.
Imagine how worried his parents are.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That does trigger me, because I've watched my brother race Supercross, and yeah. I'm a dangerous motocross rider.
Yeah,
but I don't feel that nervous when I'm out there, and I should be nervous.
Yeah.
But watching him, I was terrified.
Yeah.
Because it's my blood, and this is a dangerous sport.
Totally.
I mean, obviously, you're dad, so.
It's more that when Riley takes big falls, I'm generally not there. We're not out, you know, in the streets together.
You get the call.
I get the call, and it's always, it's just concerning and frightening. I'm not going to tell him to quit, but it absolutely is like, oh.
But when you get to a certain point, you know someone's capability, so you understand that they know what they're getting into.
I will say that.
Do something.
Like, Riley was my first child, and when I saw him developing his skill levels and also his sort of challenges that he'd set forth for himself, mm-hmm. he had a good handle on his own, not limitations, but mortality.
Not biting off too much.
Yeah, but he always wanted to push it. And yeah. then with having many other children, they all had, like, it all swayed in the other directions. So some were, like, too crazy for their skill level.
Yeah.
Some were too conservative for how good they were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Riley had, like, the perfect balance of it. But it was really interesting seeing the others come after.
I definitely, like, I know what I think I can do and what I couldn't do. I feel like...
But with confidence.
You know your skill level to where you know
yeah.
it's going to be scary and you're going to have to really put it on the line, but you know that you're able to do it when
right.
it, like, your brain will go into, you know, autopilot and you'll do it.
Right.
So...
I understand this.
Yeah.
How do you feel with your dad skating?
Feel like I get scared just watching vert skaters in general because it's not my field, I guess you could say. But I don't know. It just seems like it's just more frightening to me for some reason.
But even when you were younger, I mean, you know, you were on the Huck Champ tour when you were 10 years old.
Yeah, I just mean it's just more like extreme to me than watching my friend try to, you know, do a ledge line, I guess.
Yeah.
But there is times when my friends are trying really scary stuff that I'm scared to watch kind yeah. of, but I feel like watching my dad now, I know he knows whatever runs he's doing, he's got right. unlocked, and if something happens, then that's just, you know, luck of the draw, like yeah. that stuff kind of just happens, you know.
Was there ever an era where you were worried for him?
I think it's the same thing. I knew that he knew his abilities, and he knew that he was capable of doing something, so right. if it was going to happen, it was going to happen, and you might slam, but, you know, that's, like, just what we all do.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp as well. It's a show. It's a podcast. It's sponsored by BetterHelp.
I don't think you need to sound so angry.
I might log on real quick before I do the rest of this read, because Tony Hawk is starting to piss me off.
He seems a little edgy, yeah. and I think you would benefit from BetterHelp before doing these reads.
Thank you.
For better help.
No, seriously, thank you, Tony Hall.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
It's fair.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
To better yourself.
Yes. The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and to make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you and so you can do more of it.
Yeah, your brain's like an engine, Tony. And you've got to tune that bad boy up so that it works top-notch like mine. That's why I'm such an incredible skateboarder. Don't give up, Tony. One day you'll get there. Yeah, I use BetterHelp. I got issues. It's cats out of the bag, I guess. So, yeah, I talk to a therapist. If you don't talk to a therapist, I grew up where you're not supposed to talk to because it means you're, like, weak or something. Those people are dumb. And you need to talk to a therapist. It helps. It makes you a happier person. It makes you your loved ones like you more.
It's true. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Learn to make more time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/HawkWolf today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HawkWolf. Has there ever been a time where you're going to skate something that is dangerous and you tell him that you're going there? And have you ever gone, okay, well, have fun?
No, not really. The opposite of that happened on the loop.
Where he...
Because we were talking about it and we were going to set it up.
Yeah.
I think it was the next day, right?
Yeah, I just was going to... I was just coming. I just was going to watch.
Right.
Yeah, but I just saw it, and
he was like, oh, yeah, I'll go check it out. And I was not setting forth, like, you should probably try it.
Probably I didn't think I was going to try it either, honestly.
And then he just looked at it, he's like, I think I could do that. And then put his pads on, started getting around in the pads.
How were you when he started to get in the loop?
I felt, like I said, I trust his sense of limitations and his sense of what he's capable of.
Yeah.
And then as I saw him going around... Were you there?
Uh-uh.
Because he just had it.
I thought I had it.
You know when you said people had it.
Yeah. I thought.
So I was like, oh, he's got it. And then a few things happened where other people were trying it.
From trying it to no pads was probably 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, wait, you did it with no pads?
No, like with them taking the pads away. Oh, the pads.
Yeah.
Because it was like this live event thing, and I was like...
But there was this delay because other people wanted the pads in, and he was ready for it out. So he had to wait, and because he waited, he screwed up his timing.
Yep.
So then he came around and just fell into the...
I got away pretty clean for, like, a slam, though. Like, I did, like, probably the best-case scenario slam where you're just leaning too far forward.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely...
Which is kind of what everyone pretty hard, does.
Yeah, I did.
Their first time, right?
Because I was just like, I'm not going backwards. Like, I'm not letting that happen.
Right.
So I was just more shoulder
I did forward. The shoulder block, then I did the whip out. And then I knew, because thank goodness my buddy was still working enough to, like, get back up there. I was like, I can't do that again, for sure.
Yeah.
But I definitely know what it's like to lean a little too forward and a little too back, because I did both of them back to back. So I was like, do the one in the middle.
Are you regular?
Yeah.
I feel like I would have liked to do it that way.
It's way better over backside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I had to design. It's scary. It just felt scary for some reason. Like looking over your blind shoulder.
Front side sucks.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because if you start to look over, it's the same as when I try to do backflip on a snowboard. I can't, like, because when I do the loop, if you look forward and you don't do this or this, you're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
When I do a backflip on a snowboard, as soon as I get into a backflip, I feel like I should be doing a rodeo, and I start. Tilting my chin over this way, and I start getting off axis with it.
Yeah,
like the
it's
loop.
It's more that neck thing, because if you're going front side, you've got to like keep looking this way. So
yeah,
I don't know. That thing is like the scariest. I get anxiety still just thinking about the trying it that day.
Did like you get hurt?
I mean, I jacked my elbows pretty bad from just body slamming, but I didn't. It wasn't like I got hurt.
Right.
But I don't know. Just that. First one when they took the pads away, and I was like, oh my God, I'll never try it again. It was the scariest thing I've ever tried.
Yeah, far. The pads being moved out of the way is like, it's like, I'm going to do a 540, but if it goes wrong, I'm not bailing. You know what I mean? Like when I'm trying to do something that I know is dangerous, and I'm like, if it's real bad, I'll kick out.
Like but the mega ramp felt like nothing compared to the loop to me. Like
really?
The scariness factor, yeah.
Really?
Because it just, I don't know, I just knew I was going to fly over it no matter what.
Okay, yeah.
But the loop, I was like, and right before me, I forget who it was, someone went around and went right back into the up part of the side and like with his face, and I was like, oh my God.
That's why there was a delay, because we were looking after him.
So like he went around and went right back into it was brutal.
How do you do that?
Well, better than that than flying out of the edge.
Okay. That's one way to look at it, I guess.
Well, that's what Tom Shaw
I think did. It was like the kind of like skydiving thing where you almost like, you don't want to know you're going to do it for too long. You just want to show up and do it. That was kind of, I was like, yeah. I just
That was my advice for people in the mega ramp. Whenever they get on the roll in and stay there too long, it was John Schultes. And he had already done a catastrophizing attempt a few months before. And then he was back up there with all of us. And I came back up, and he's still up there. And I said, hey, man, this is like dropping in on Verve for the first time.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, do it. But if you put your tail over and then pull it back up and then go back over there and do it, it's going to throw you off. Like you're going to scare yourself into not thinking of all the, because it's like, it's the same as anything, man. If you, because I think all three of us have it, when the pressure's on, we can be nervous.
For sure.
But my body's still going to do what my brain tells it to do.
Yeah.
Like, I think, what's the girl, the worst mega ramp gap slam Lizzie. Ever. Yeah. You could tell that slam, she stopped thinking about where she was or any, she blanked out
there,
from the fear. Like, she missed the kicker.
Yeah. I was talking to, or Pedro Delfino was telling me whenever he skates like a gnarly rail or something, he'll set like a 20-minute timer on his phone. And he's like, if I'm not close by the time that thing goes off, I'm not like, I'm not mentally in it. So I'm not doing it.
Smart.
Because I get it. Like, if you're just, you know, tiptoeing around a rail for too long, you kind
of
let it.
You get in your own head. Yeah. You get in the way of yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
because then you have the jello legs, and you don't even know what's going on.
You start thinking about stuff that has nothing to do with how you're going to do this.
For sure, yeah. No,
like, Schultes did the same. He did the same backflip again.
Oh, wow.
Like, as soon as he got to the kicker, he leaned back, and I was like, oh!
Yeah.
But it worked out again where he made a perfect backflip and landed back on his knees. So it was, like, kind of okay, but I also...
I know you were talking about your brother doing motocross stuff, but did you see today that Hayden Deegan slammed on that
triple? Just now.
It was like he went off this jump all sideways and bailed his bike. It's probably like 50, 60 foot triple and just perfectly landed on his butt and slid down. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
He'll probably race, but it was pretty.
It's crazy to know that he won last weekend and then that happens this weekend. It's like you're the best dude on the track. And then,
well, dude, like Austin Faulkner last weekend too. That hurt. This one kid, he just can't catch a break. Slammed really bad.
It was one of those ones where it's like
I was genuinely bummed out after that happened.
You couldn't do it again. Like, it was just like he caught his back wheel in the rhythm section before the next jump, and the bike bucked and leaned to the side as he hit the next jump.
It was so like his bike is already like going through the channel. And just backflipping and landing on your head and back in the channel, pretty much. Like, he was going fast and far, and it was really sad to see.
And he went off and landed on the wooden boards off the track. On
concrete.
Was it the concrete?
Yeah, it was the concrete. God. Yeah.
Is he okay?
I saw a video he put on the internet saying he broke a couple things in his back and his shoulder, but for just that happening, it was pretty...
Wow.
Yeah, you got lucky.
Yeah, motos.
One of Riley's first words was motorcycle.
I didn't even know that, but...
Wait, what?
One of the first things he ever said, motorcycle.
That's definitely something I've been missing since I hurt my shoulder, is not being able to go.
But you were always... I mean, it used to be like... There'd be to the point where you'd be in the car seat, and you'd just hear the rumbling next to the car. Couldn't see it, right? And just... You look at me like a motorcycle.
Yeah, moto. Hell yeah. I got that bug too, dude.
Yeah. I was going to the track. I was going to the track a lot recently. Yeah.
You ride?
I hurt my shoulder.
Still?
Yeah, but like before I hurt my shoulder snowboarding, I was going like 2-3 times a week to Fox with some homies that all ride. And
yeah.
I was getting comfy. Like, I could lap the pro track and I was feeling good. And then, but I knew too, it was like the snowboard. One of them was going to get me sooner or later.
Yeah.
I was getting a little too comfy on both. Yep. So snowboarding was probably the better option of the two to take me down.
Agreed.
He separated his shoulder snowboarding.
Yeah, in December. But it's pretty much better now. It's like right on the edge of being better. But
I separated my shoulder in 2008 or 2009 skating. And then Keegan separated his shoulder. We're all goofy footed.
Yeah, but I cannot believe that you skated demos like 3 days after doing it, because I could barely even.
Mine wasn't as bad as yours.
Oh, okay. But it's still.
I mean, I know.
They didn't even say surgery was an option.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I was telling you that because Keegan, one of his younger brothers, separated his shoulder last year snowboarding.
Yeah.
And then Keegan just doesn't like his aesthetically. Because mine drops.
It right drops, here, yeah. It's got drops. A bird perch
and
on
then
it.
He heard Riley got surgery. He said, what? I want to have surgery.
yeah.
When Riley fixed his.
Yeah.
I feel like moto dudes, if it's like, to me, boxers that have straight noses. Like, if I'm going to fight a guy and his nose is straight, I'm pretty sure I'm going to beat his ass.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you haven't been here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if it's like moto guys that if you have a crooked shoulder, you've ridden.
Yeah.
Wow. That's how
that's a strange.
That's the one thing I know I have to kind of stay away from for a bit, because when you you don't slam too much motoing, but when you do, it's a good one. But the little ones are always, you're just rolling right to your shoulder pretty much. Like high siding in a turn or something. You're always just right to the shoulder. So I was like, all right, I gotta wait that one out.
Man, I high sided in Kawasaki, like, were giving me bikes. And then the team listened to my Sirius show. So they were like fans.
That's funny.
And they were hooking me up. Like my bike was awesome. Yeah, way too good for me.
Steve Caballero has like that
hookup. He took it off me. Whatever. Good for him. But I went and they had my bike all tricked up and ready. Like at one point I had the race, the forks where you can lock down the front end so it's low for the start. And I had my buddy had like the Kawasaki umbrella like standing next to me. Like I look like Chad Reed. Like it was way beyond.
Were you racing or it was just okay.
But it was in a race for kooks. Like it wasn't like I wasn't with the pros.
C-class, yeah.
Yeah, like bum race. But I had all the gear, and I was in practice, like the weekend before, and was feeling myself going real fast, going around a turn way too fast for my level, high sided. I'm out. I wake up and I hear, and I'm like, "What is that?" I'm like, "I feel hot," and the bike is on me and it's burning me, and I'm like, "Ow!" And then I get it off and I hit my hip so hard that I got internal bleeding, and it went into my crutch region, but it like I had purple on my hip a little bit, and then no purple here, and then my whole package, like blew up. Was all purple, and it was like I would say
blood or no,
I peed blood a little bit, but not bad. But my. I don't know how I want to say it in a disgusting way, but the meat and potatoes was completely purple. Hey everybody, it's Alice, mate. Out of known clothes, Kelly Slater invented it, so you know it's good. But I got sent stuff in the mail, and I'm wearing all of it. They got really good jeans, jackets, and t-shirts. I really love the t-shirts. They got they like fit good, and they're comfortable. I think the best thing about Out of Known is it's comfortable. Like everything that I wear, it's not, and it feels like I've got sweatpants on. And speaking of sweatpants, they make those too. But they make everything. And I don't think I've ever had a clothing line send me stuff where I was just like, yeah, I'll just wear all of it. Out of Known is committed to going further in their efforts to protect the environment than any other brand. 95% of Out of Known makes is organic, recycled, and regenerated. Man, this is all recycled stuff? How do they make recycled stuff so comfortable? I have all the blanket shirts. I didn't even know I liked blanket shirts. Now I wear blanket shirts. Kelly Slater, you kick ass. Go to outofknown.com today and enter the code WOLF at checkout and you'll get 25% off your full price order. That's outofknown.com, outofknown.com. And remember to use the code WOLF at checkout and get 25% off. Check them out today, outofknown.com, and don't forget promo code WOLF for 25% off. I had a white pelvis and a purple, and I'd be like, dude, I got my package is like completely purple. You want to see it? And people were like, no, I don't want to see it. And then I'd just show them anyway, and they'd be like, no way. Everybody wanted to see it. It had its own Twitter.
At least it happened to him, but he probably wasn't showing it to people.
I did. In Portugal, I had...
You got to show somebody.
No, it wasn't show. It was like, look and see that, like, is this okay? Because I don't even know what's going on right now.
It's not okay.
It was like, just tell me, like, we don't have to go to the hospital right now.
Wait, yours is instant.
Who was deciding that?
Christian Maloof, who was with us. It was a Brixton trip. Because they got this crazy, like... Charlie horse welt like right above my groin, and it just looked it just did not look okay because I impacted right on your like hip flexor on the rail, and I was like, I don't know, so this might be like something might be actually bad.
Was
right
that
now.
At the beginning of the trip?
It was like midway through. I was able to skate by the end of it, but it was
was the lump still there?
A little bit, but not too bad. But there was some coloration for sure. Yeah. But I had him. It was more like. Like, life or death moment, like, I don't even, just look. And he knew, he was like, yeah, I'll, it looks okay. And I was like, all right.
I've had the, I hit the ground so hard that I started spitting blood. And I was like, I did the same thing you did. I was like, hey, I'm spitting up blood. Like, do I need to go to hospital?
Probably not good, right?
And this is the snowboarder, Tara Dakitas, which I value her opinion. She has taken some slams. And she goes, how much blood are you spitting? And I go, and I spat. I'm like, this much. She's like, ah, no, you're fine.
Well, because sometimes like, oh, okay. you know, as a skater, you're just like, it's all good. Like, I'm all good. But sometimes you need someone to be like, no, that's not okay. We need to go get that checked out.
I remember when we were doing, I think it was Frito-Lay stuff. I did a big thing for Frito-Lay.
Oh, and I broke my arm.
And then you were skating with Sean and Shay, right?
I don't know. They had some kind of crew of kids skating for it. Yeah.
I think it was Sean and Shay were part of it, and you guys were in Balboa Park, and then he called me from someone else's phone. He's like, I think I hurt my elbow. I can't remember. I thought it was okay, and I was like, well, can you move it? Yeah, I think so. And
he's so like, not in a panic. He was just like,
it would take a lot for him to call me at that time in his life.
Okay.
You know, if he was out skating. And then I was just like, I think you'll be okay. And then when he got home, I realized that he was not okay. No, that was a big regret.
That one, I remember I hyperextended it. I put it back.
Oh, okay.
And it went like that, but really quick.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think when you're a kid like that, you don't understand what really happened. You're like, that just felt really weird.
Yeah.
Then it just went full, like, lockup.
But it was like really black and blue by the time you got home.
Yeah.
Oh, it was
that's when I was just thinking, like, I should have just drove down there. Like,
I see that. If he's calling and he's not crying or screaming, it is. I always lean. You know, maybe when my kids get hurt, I'm like,
I don't. But I think that what happened was he was looking more for me to be like, okay, I'll come get you, as opposed to, is this okay?
Were you?
I don't really. I just remember it was. We were down in San Diego. So I don't think I even knew where I was. I was just like,
oh yeah, trying to Balboa Park.
Yeah, trying to more so. Be like, could you just come get me? Because I don't want to just sit here the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Like, I can't skate anymore. That was more, I guess, the mindset, not like panic mode.
Do you remember a time not skating, like, in your life?
I mean, I remember times where I wasn't really skating, but I feel like
by choice, where you had already been and you came out.
Yeah, but I remember, I feel like I always remember having, like, a board somewhere near that I could skate if I wanted
to. Yeah, you used to go down the driveway at the house at Carlsbad after we moved from Fallbrook to the house I lived in high school, and the driveway was super steep, and then it met with a road that was steep, and he would go from the top driveway. I remember caught him doing it once, and he was so small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where your feet are just swimming on the grip tape.
Yeah.
And he would go down this thing, and I just remember seeing him hit the, like, down the driveway, and I was like, okay, we're not doing that anymore. Like,
but he'd already been doing it.
He'd already been doing it, yeah.
Like, Dad, come
see
this.
Thought he was just out there kind of goofing around and whatever. And there was a moment where, I remember my brother, too, was there, and he's like, you let him do that? I was like, that's the first time I ever seen him do it.
Hey, when did you become so metal?
Metal?
Yeah, because he's not. Like, like, whatever, dude. You know Metallica and stuff, but he's not metal. Like, he's like a nerd. He's like a technical nerd guy. And I remember going to a Halloween party, and you became a man. Like, I missed an era or whatever, and all of a sudden you were as tall as me. And you were like, hey, man, how's it going? I'm like, Riley? And you had
Sabbath.
Yeah,
you got a Black Sabbath tattoo on your forearm.
It's on, like, the outside.
Yeah.
I think this arm.
It's metal.
Yeah,
it's metal as fuck. I mean, and I was like, wait, what? Did you know?
Skate videos, I guess, growing up, watching them. Like,
anybody in particular?
Soundtracks. And I think, too, I was at the point, like, when I was growing up, where YouTube and those things were becoming much more accessible to, like, find music really easily.
Yeah.
So that kind of, me and my friends would go down those rabbit holes and just get stoked on finding new bands and stuff like
that. New bands that had been around for...
Yeah, or like bands that were, you know, we would try to just find obscure whatever, like hard rock bands from back in the day that were kind of just resurfacing because of the internet and YouTube and stuff, so...
So how old were you when you got into...
Probably like...
metal?
I don't know, like 14 maybe or something. Like, I think I got hurt at one point when I was around 14, and that was when I bought a guitar just to kind of dork around with and have something to do to pass the time. And I would just watch.
Elbow or ankle?
Ankle, I think. And I would just watch YouTube videos of how to play songs like Black Sabbath songs. And
is that your foundation of playing guitar? Like, you started playing guitar and you were into metal, or?
Yeah. I mean, I just, like I said, I would just learn to play like songs that I wanted, that I liked to listen to. I never took any more or like formal training of
how to
play guitar. Yeah.
But you played, what was it at Kelly when you guys played?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I, Seven Nation Army. I kind of always was messing around with the guitar, but yeah, Jacob, who filmed like all the Shep Dogs videos, that's one of my best buddies. He was really good at guitar really young, and his dad was kind of into, you know, that type of music and would show us stuff. And I feel like it was just always around skating, though, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there was a huge section of it that was into metal, for sure.
Like,
there
the was first, also, I was thinking about, I just watched, like, the first Flip video, the Sorry video recently, and I was just listening to this, like, the soundtrack I was thinking about. That's, like, one of, you know, I would have been, I don't even know, 10 or 11 maybe then. So you're listening to, like, you know, the Stooges and all these kind of, like Gray Matter and
lame. I know.
Just like big
lame. He's saying he likes it. He's
those were like bands that I like. So
wait, when you
he's
were
not
10...
bringing up a skate video because he didn't like the music. He's bringing up a skate video because he liked.
No, it's a really good soundtrack. That's like one of the videos that has like an epic skate soundtrack.
So how did you jump into metal from there?
It's like you said, like the Stooges, you know, like it's stuff all, like that. You kind of you go
Jason.
Down like a rabbit
so
hole.
Cut and dry. It's kind Jesus.
Well, the Stooges are like the first ever like hard rock metal, like 1969. That's when they were doing that.
Things became before
Metallica. Heavy band always.
It's crazy.
Black Sabbath was the first metal band. All right.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely true, but. But the Stooges is what led me to those type of bands.
Okay. Yeah, no, Stooges was the gateway. Stooges helped.
All right. Riley texted me on right after his 18th birthday a picture of his Black Sabbath tattoo.
And how did you feel?
That's cool.
That's really how
he said. Yeah, he was. He said I was torn between getting this or Led Zeppelin,
which is couldn't go wrong either way.
Yeah, I definitely love both. I'm glad. I think that now finding out that Sabbath was a little more or a little less like controversial, I guess, in recent years. Led Zeppelin has, they have quite a controversial past, but I mean, it's still Led Zeppelin, so it doesn't really matter. But
I saw a video of Black Sabbath doing Blue Suede Shoes cover, like before they were big time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, you're doing blues music.
Well,
and
yeah.
And that made me realize blues is
kind
of the beginning of
everyone
rock and roll.
Everyone kind of stole blues and made it.
And Robert Johnson and with the, like the Crossroads song is like the beginning of evil. Like where it was like, I sold my soul to be this guitarist. And I was like, that's the first metal lyric ever. It is. Yeah. Robert Johnson's, like when he's like, I went down to the Crossroads and made
it's
a
debatable,
deal.
Debatable, but okay.
You can debate it if you want, but the answer is that.
That is metal.
It is
for sure.
Metal is, you know what?
Yeah, I definitely, but yeah, I mean, I feel like Metallica was one of those bands that it took me a little longer to appreciate because I was just more like into the 70s type hard rock metal stuff. But then I think once I really got stoked on Cliff Burton is when I appreciated Metallica more.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I had a conversation with my co-host the other day about Cliff Burton being the greatest bass player that has ever lived, like rock and roll bass player, and then knowing that Dave Mustaine was the guitarist for Metallica, and they aced him because he was drinking too much and he wouldn't get sober.
Yeah.
And it's like, if Cliff didn't die and Dave Mustaine was like, oh, really? You guys are going to kick me off? Like, okay, I'll get my stuff together. Because eventually he did. Like, now he's a sober guy.
For sure.
And he's, this is hard to say, but he's better than Kurt, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've never really thought about. Yeah,
imagine if imagine if those four were still together. I think that there would be
They'd be a huge band.
It'd be no question. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
They'd be as big as Metallica or Megadeth.
They'd be bigger than Metallica, which is not even possible.
The combined of forces.
Are they? Do they just still don't like each other?
No, they. I think they patched it up. I saw that. You probably didn't watch it, but they had a documentary. It was very painful for me.
What, the some kind of monster?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched
where they had like a therapist there. And
I think I watched it more just like, I don't know. I wasn't too like obsessed about the band at the time. I just watched it and I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I guess that's what happens to those those kind of bands.
Or,
like,
or they fall apart completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really wanted to stick together, but I remember Dave was crying about how he regretted it. He's like, you know, I'd bring out a new album and it'd do well, and then you guys would bring one out and would crush my album. And I'm like, oh man, what a, you know, because you're still Dave Mustaine, you're great, you know, but like to see Metallica.
I'm
like,
definitely more of a Metallica fan than a Megadeth fan, but
right? Because they're better.
They know? Just, I just think that Cliff brought that like rock and roll aspect to it, which made it a little more tangible for me. Versus Megadeth feels a little, it's like just not my type of style.
It's math metal.
Yeah, it's a little, I don't know. Like Cliff just kind of made it feel more organic and not so.
He was very real.
Yeah.
Like to have bell bottoms.
He was cool. Yeah, I mean, I always like Misfits see all the photos t-shirts of him running, yeah, like Lynyrd Skynyrd shirts, and they you know, hear stories of them giving him shit, and he's just like,
I don't care.
These bands rule. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't seem like he answered to anybody.
I can't believe what he was. What, 24 when he died? Yeah. It's just hard to believe that someone could do those albums before they're 24 is like unbelievable.
I mean, Kill 'Em All was like, they were all teenagers.
Yeah.
Which is,
that was cool when we saw him in San Diego. We met Cliff Burton's dad.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that?
I mean, cool. I just said
Calvin
hi.
Recognized him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did a really cool tribute when they played like Pulling Teeth and Robert Trujillo did it, and they blasted Cliff from that like Day on the Field.
That's
concert
awesome.
And it was, yeah, it was cool that that concert felt like they, I don't know, it seemed like much more of a,
it was
ideal concert than like them on any other tour. They just played so much old stuff.
Yeah.
Like Kill 'Em All and a lot of rad old
to
songs.
To an entire stadium of people.
Yeah, that was
That's
insane.
Pretty awesome.
It was wild.
So you're in a band, right?
Yeah, but we haven't really played or jammed in quite a while, honestly, but we do. Like,
that's what I would say. Besides other questions, people ask me a lot about your band.
Oh, really? I mean, I don't know. I think the last tour we did, I just wasn't having, like, fun doing it. It just felt, I don't know, like, forced or something. And I just wanted to be, like, skating. And it's just that lifestyle is I didn't really like the vibe of being so stuck in, like, a bar in a van and I just like more making the music. I didn't expect us to be doing like tours like that. So it kind
of, is it okay for you to do tours of skateboarding or do you feel like
you're
stuck in a
band? No, because I like waking up early and like being in the environment we're in. Like if you're in, you know, a town, I like being out and driving and finding skate spots and like really being in it. I feel like on the tour, the band tour stuff, you're just kind of stuck in like a venue and I wasn't at that point really having the best time like socializing in that bar environment. It just felt like I was trying to not drink so much, so it just felt I don't know, out of place or something.
Is
just
it the athlete in you think?
Yeah, I think once I got hooked on jiu-jitsu, it kind of took over that because I was just so stoked to be using my body is like,
yeah,
is like an athletic type of output.
And then staying up super late, and I wouldn't imagine anybody's eating anything too.
Yeah, I mean,
healthy.
You're just eating at gas stations, right. And you're just like, even if you're trying to be on a good track, you can't. It's just hard in that. And I don't know. I just wasn't really having fun, and I was like, if this is just kind of not fun, then why am I doing it? You know.
Yeah.
So. Did you feel like in that short period of time that things were growing?
Yeah, we were on like a tour that got booked for us by this kind of bigger promoter. So the venues were kind of, I thought, too big for the magnitude of what the band was. I think he expected more of a like show out for it, you know? So just felt that part like we'd be in a venue where it fits 500 people, but there would be 200. So it just felt
yeah,
dead. And I was like, man, if we just would have played in like a more fun, smaller bar environment, 200 yeah. people would feel like a good time.
Yeah.
And so that kind of was not the most encouraging. And then it actually ended because almost everyone got COVID except a couple people on the tour. There was another band.
Oh, that's right.
And that's when you I was just Detroit. Like, oh, this is just, no, that was a different time. Oh. But then it happened again on another tour. And that's when I was like, this is just, I didn't know this, what the state of like touring would be in the next few years because of that COVID thing kept happening. And yeah. I was just like, this but just I remember feels weird.
When you were in Detroit, you called me and you were super sick and it was before people even really knew what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he's just going to different clinics. Like, I don't know what's wrong, and I don't know how to help.
Yeah.
We came to find out. And that's probably what it was.
Like, I got sick, early. But I wasn't, yeah. you know, wasn't
but you guys, too bad. You guys skipped a few shows.
That ended it. Yeah, that was that the end of it, yeah. us playing. We were with this band called the Black Lips, and they kept going, but that was the end of it for us, yeah.
How many people in the band were sick at one time?
On that one, the first time, I think a couple of us were just like, we were just coughing and we were in Montreal Toronto in the winter and it was snowing and we were just all just like dying and we were like, this is brutal. And
yeah.
And I couldn't even think about trying to like actually play a show. I was just thinking about
trying to
feel better. It was the end. No, it was literally in January of 2020. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was right. I remember going to the clinic and they asked me, have you been to these places? And we had been to every place they listed off. It was like New York, whatever, all these places. I was like, yeah, I've been to all of them. That was the first time I remember they gave me a mask and I was wearing it. And I just felt like something was way wrong. This feels crazy. Yep.
How sick did you get?
Pretty sick, but I think I just prolonged it by just being like,
yeah,
in venues in the snow, not around resting. A bunch of people, not resting. Yeah, my rest was terrible.
Right.
So I definitely learned a lot from those years of just how to take care of your body more and how important sleep is. I feel like I prioritize sleep now more than anything in my life, pretty much.
Would you be interested in going on tour again, musically?
I just think it would have to be something that felt fun and, like, organic. But honestly, probably not. Just because because it wouldn't be fun. I just don't really have an interest to be doing that on a stage in front of people. I'd rather just do it for fun with my friends, like right. in a garage somewhere, you know.
The bit that you like about it.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking to a friend of ours about doing like a song for a skate video, just like kind of watching it and play and like make a song, like something like that soundtrack. Sounds fun. Yeah, like a soundtrack or something, yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, it just didn't. It felt like it ran its course for me, kind of, mentally.
Yeah.
But skateboard tour, ready to go.
Yeah, before I hurt my shoulder, we've been going out, we kind of commandeered the birdhouse van. We've been
That's handy.
Yeah. Using it a lot, but yeah, we've been going to Vegas a lot, because there's just a lot of spots. No one really skates out there, and there's just so much development always. They're building new stuff all the time,
yeah.
And it's just quick, and like, you know, we go out there and get an Airbnb, and it's pretty cheap, and it's known for being cheap because people go to the strip and spend all this money, but we just go there to skate, so we're just right. like outside the city a little bit.
So this is not demos, this is to film.
Just filming, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
what about demos? Does that sound fun to you?
Yeah, we did a couple tedious? On this Thrasher vacation trip. We did a couple demos and it was fun. I mean, the park we did one of them at was kind of rough and I forgot about how that can feel, just trying to force something in a park that is not the best, but it was actually, we went there on the, I don't know if I was with you maybe, but they were like, the gigantic skate park tour came here. It's like this huge concrete park in Calgary. And
yeah, with the full pipe.
With the full pipe, yep. Yeah.
I was?
Yeah.
Did I have fun?
Yeah, it was the gigantic skate park tour and we were on the ESPN bus. Yes, you had
And fun. Alex Chalmers was there.
That's why I don't remember it.
The what?
I just remember everyone was like, Alex Chalmers was here. That was like, they kept saying that at the demo.
Yeah. Yeah. That there's sort of a half pipe area out of the full
there's
pipe.
There's so many. It's like the biggest skate park ever. It's huge.
I had a dream about Alex Chalmers like a month ago.
We saw him. It was cool.
Which is out of the blue. Made no sense. And it was in a hotel.
Well, speaking of the loop, he came to the loop.
Yeah, he was right.
That makes sense.
Came to town. Like I told him it was here. Came to town. Did it. Went home.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, those certain people
he's
doing
got
the loop makes perfect sense. You know?
He's got it. Can I use the restroom real fast before we keep going?
What?
Can I go pee real quick?
Yeah.
I have to go pee real fast.
You're the first to ever do this, just so you know.
Really?
Yeah.
You did it once.
Okay, sorry.
You did it once, and then we ended the show.
So you were like,
I gotta pee, and they were like, we're almost at an hour,
you didn't let me come back?
I think you held it just long enough for us to
hour. All right. Last time I tried to sleep, I snored, and my cat tapped me on the shoulder and said, seriously, Jason, now I got shh tape, and my cat and I sleep like bald babies. No more tossing and turning, waking up tired or stuffy. That's a very important thing. I like to wake up not stuffy so that I breathe. Breathing is fun. Imagine if you're able to wake up feeling more rested without a stuffy nose. Imagine if you are able to put on mouth tape and it covers your mouth and stays on all night. Picture yourself being able to wake up without your partner yelling or meowing about how obnoxious and loud your snoring is. This product allows you to facilitate better oxygenation of the blood as your nose filters, warms, and humidifies the air prior to reaching your lungs. They are bigger, they are stickier, they are comfier. Shh tape nose, they can increase your quality of sleep, and they want you to get started as soon as possible. To help, they're giving you the chance to buy Shh tape for 50% off using the code WOLF50 on their website, shtape.com. End Shh sleep tonight and Shh tape, a better way to mouth tape. Connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at @sh_tape and share your success stories. www.shtape.com.
Oh, do you remember going on those skate park tours, like the ESPN ones?
Yeah, I remember like certain random parks, I feel like, but that's kind of it. Yeah.
I just wonder what stood out in those days. Because we were on the go all so much. I mean, we were on the go so much that you were going to public school, and I got a very stern warning from the principal that if you miss any more school, you will be marked truant and you will not pass the grade.
Yeah, I don't remember like specifics. I just remember Parks and Barry. Like, I remember I hurt my elbow or something and making me go in the pool at like 6 a.m. and it was freezing. And I was like, what? Like, I have to go in there? I didn't understand the concept of why he was making me do that. That's one thing I remember.
Yeah, he got a little overzealous in those days.
I was pretty young, too. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, you had youth on your side. You could have just slept it off.
Yeah.
But he was like, you got to get in the pool and do all the
training me
things.
Like I was a Olympic-level athlete.
He was very serious. I have nightmares.
But, I mean, that was when you actually broke your elbow, right?
I think I just hurt it on the trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember you closing demos. I remember a couple of them where we went vert, then we went to the course, and there was something that you were working on where it was like, no way. And then you did it, and it was like, that's it. Yeah. That's the end of all of us doing the demo, and we all agreed. Like, it was something.
Yeah, it's probably a good out for the dudes that didn't want to actually skate the demo anymore.
And that was the other thing. You wouldn't stop.
Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like a little unfair because, you know, you're 10 and you felt great after everything.
He shut down a Huck Jam. I mean, it was the arena tour. It was this big ramp. And so we did all these routines and whatnot, and then we would do our jam. And then at the halftime, they would just do these sort of product giveaways and whatever. And then Riley started skating in the halftime. He started trying 540s.
And then, way below coping, but.
Yeah. He did one.
And then he made
one. Melon grab.
Yeah.
Dude.
Shut the place down. Yeah. It was like, we had already done our jam. It was Bob and Bucky and Matt Hoffman and Dave Mirra and everyone. And then Riley did 540 and was like, all right, that's the best thing anyone's going to see tonight.
Yeah, agreed.
I think that's the only one. Yeah, I've never done.
That was the only one.
Another.
You came back and tried one at a different ramp and slid out, and kind of a bad one.
Oh, really?
And I could tell you were like, I'm not doing that.
I mean, I've done it like off like a quarter pipe to bank, like in a skate park. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'd want to try to do one on vert one day, but I think the time is just it's passed.
It's never too late to do a 540.
That's true. That's true. What do you grab? Mute?
Nah, same
melon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what I would try to grab if I didn't try another one.
I think just based off your...
I think nose grab is what I would try.
Yeah, because I was... Right before you finished that sentence, I was like, you're out of your mind, but knowing how you can skate things...
Yeah,
because you're going to get a good pop. If you can see it again, it doesn't matter.
But he does nose grabs over all kinds of stuff.
That's why I know you could do it.
Backside 360 nose grab is definitely a trick I feel comfortable.
Because you can get over it again and see it.
Yeah, I wouldn't go upside down, though. I would do the leg.
Yeah. Who cares?
Twirl sideways.
So, take it.
Yeah, no, it's still a 540.
Yeah, flipping a nose grab 540.
A lot of those park guys do a nose grab like that, I've noticed.
A lot of who?
Like the park guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it feels more street style, it seems. Yeah,
because you can sit, if you can get back over and see the landing, it's like the mute, when you go upside down like your dad does, there's a, you know where you are. You don't see where you are.
Yeah.
And then at the last second you do, but that whole way before, it's because he's got so many, like when he's upside down, he's like, okay, this is right.
I just feel like I know if I did nose grab, I would never over rotate. But I feel like if the mute one, it just seems like you're just asking to go.
Me too.
Back to the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or break your leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can happen.
You didn't have to bring that up, but yeah. Maybe.
Yep. I would just rather.
It's okay, I got through it.
I would rather see where I'm going the whole time.
Yeah, agreed. I'm with you.
Yeah.
What inspired you to build the vert ramp at your old house?
I think I just had the space and I had made some money off of selling the other house and I just wanted. I wanted to skate a ramp that wasn't this big but still felt like a vert ramp. Mm-hmm. And so I just hit the guys up that. I forget who put me in contact with them, but they did Elliot's, I think, and stuff, and they were like, yeah, we could do it, and so just went for it, and it was fun, got to, you know, have some fun sessions and utilize it, but I don't think I got to the level I was hoping to, but I think vert's tricky.
Is it gone now?
Yeah, because I'm selling the house, so we had to tear it down, but.
Would you contemplate doing another one?
I don't have any space for it, but I liked skating that size ramp.
Yeah.
It felt more my style than jumping onto the big one, you know?
It is different.
Yeah.
It's a lot more, it's similar to mega ramp a little bit. Like it's easier because it's everything's slower.
Yeah.
But you are going way faster and there's definitely a more flat footed vert.
Legs. You're talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you have to have a little bit more. You're in the ramp more. Like I get
feel like
when
I'm
I ride the Vans ramp
here all the time.
Yeah, the Vans ramp to me is more of like a
it's
a
funny
really
though,
steep mini ramp.
But you guys used to come here every Monday.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. I just felt like I was just free falling on every air,
even after getting used to it.
Yeah, it just felt so big. I just felt because it's not like we skate any other bowls or anything. So it's just like,
yeah, what's similar to that?
It's so big. Yeah, right. Exactly. So
he was doing, he had one of my old school decks and he was doing eggplants on it.
You can do eggplants?
I did a few and then I slammed once and it kind of.
Is the one you were telling me about?
Yeah, I came in and didn't point my nose forward enough and just kind of belly flopped to the flat.
Oh, wow.
And it hurt pretty bad.
It's fair.
Vert's kind of like moto. You don't slam too much, but when you do, it's a big one.
Yeah, unless you're me. Just slam all the time on everything. I do moto, same as I skate vert. Everyone's like, yeah, every now and then you take a big one. I'm like, I just slam.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go.
That means you're just going
doing everything. Yeah, like if I cook, I'm going to burn my hands. Like,
yeah.
I'm just accident prone, man.
Just going big, going for it.
Yeah, I just go for it. Yeah.
That was, Riley broke his elbow when he was 10, maybe 11. And you had that elbow cast.
I've had many of them.
I was going
to
say.
The first one. But I remember the first one, and then we went to South Africa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
For a skate park opening in Durban, South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, the whole thing was set. He was going to go, and he's just like, I still want to go.
Yeah.
I go, okay, I don't know if you can skate. He's like, yeah, I'm going to South Africa. I'm going on safari. And so
it's fair.
He went, and then he started skating.
Did you know you were going to skate?
I don't know. I don't think I thought that much about.
Okay.
I don't think I thought that far ahead.
And then I got.
I think I just wanted to go.
Skate.
Who got? Yeah. Who you getting trouble? Oh, yeah, sorry.
You know.
Yep.
No. That was the one that Tebow was with us, right?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And then I just said, like, well, he's not going to break his elbow again. Yeah. <It's not> true.
Did you get hurt?
No.
Okay, fine, well, then you were right. Dad, nice
yeah,
work.
He was doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
How many times have you broke your elbow?
Too many, yeah.
Right?
It's been a while since I've had a good elbow slam. But
both twice, I think. Right?
Probably more than more, I was gonna more say. Than we got diagnosed, probably. But
that's true. Yeah.
I just remember always having an elbow cast, like, growing up all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
And then we one time we just, like, we just took it off ourselves because
yeah.
he felt good. So
skateboard doctors.
And then I remember you straightened it, and you were so scared because it felt like it wasn't ever going to yeah. be straight again.
Yeah.
How are you with jiu-jitsu with all those elbow problems?
I remember when I first started, I was having a lot of elbow pain, almost like a tennis elbow or tendonitis from yeah. like framing and
yeah.
doing that stuff. But then I think it's kind of like skating or anything. Like, you just, I don't know, you just get like hardened to it, and then you just kind of, it just kind of goes away.
How are you with when people have you in arm bars and stuff? Are you quick to tap, or you think your arm's going to hold?
I'm pretty decent at getting out of arm bars, but I'm not going to like ego let right. my arm break. So.
Right. Because I feel like because of my knee injuries and stuff,
yeah.
when people do leg locks on me, I just don't. Because there's like a For there's sure. a second there where I can make a move and get it out,
yeah.
or I could just go and well, tap yeah. because I don't want to risk it.
I think I've learned that a lot of times people are being really nice with the leg locks, so I don't. It's almost like a sparring thing where, you know, if someone throws like a head kick and then someone catches it, you're like, no, you can't do that. Like, I would have just. That would have connected, you know? So I feel like I know when I'm like, yeah, you got it. And I just tap, you know? Okay. Like, they're not going to rip it, but we both know that
okay,
that's it, you know?
So you spar with people that you know?
I do a lot, but a lot of times I'll spar with... We have, like, an open mat at our gym, and I'll spar with other guys. And I've gone to other gyms and sparred there and stuff. I like no-gi a lot more. I don't really like
Me too.
The gi too much, but...
Yeah. I will tell people, like, if I've ever gone on the road and people are like, why don't you roll with this? I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, hey, everybody. So, and it's easier now because I'm older. I'll be like,
yep.
So anyway, I'm old and I'm in my 50s. So if you guys get my legs, just know,
yeah.
like, don't be dicks. Like, you know what I mean? Because I don't, they're glass.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I explain that and people are less inclined to yank it.
I feel like it's one of those things too where, like, we have a guy at our gym that teaches some of the no-gi classes, and he is like a 10th planet black belt. And
yeah.
when I roll with him, he won't even really go for my legs. But if you protect, like, initiate that type of game, because
that's the go-to. If you grab his leg, he's
like,
yours.
Okay, well, now I'm yeah. going to go for you. And then it's like, then I feel like it's my first day again because yeah. that stuff is like a whole different.
I'm 10th planet guy too, so my coach is a 10th yeah. planet black belt. And every time he goes down there, I'm just like, no,
yeah.
leave it alone.
yeah, it's like,
did you want to do stem cells? So we just got back from Columbia doing stem cells, my neck and shoulders, his elbows and ankles.
You're welcome. Yeah. The wolf hooking up the Set hawks. Up.
But did you, was that more for jiu-jitsu?
No, I did it because I really wanted to, like, I'd been skating a lot and feeling like probably the most comfortable I've felt on the board in a while, and like doing stuff that I knew was, you know, I was going to be like just limping around all the time and feeling sore and stuff. So
afterwards, just because of how it is now,
I just felt like I wanted to do it to prolong this kind of intensity. But I'm
saying
I'm at right now,
you're saying
skating.
It was going to be sore because you have this experience that when you push it, you're in pain afterwards.
Yeah, that, and I'm just saying I just wanted to prolong staying in this moment where I'm mm-hmm. feeling really strong and comfortable on my board and just do everything I can to mm-hmm. stay there. But definitely wasn't a problem that it was going to help with jiu-jitsu either. I'll take that for
but
sure.
But it's yeah. a bonus.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Because it is going to
It's going to
help
for sure, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even some of the old dudes, you know, the older black belts, they're like, God, you're creaky for someone who's 31, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, everything is destroyed.
I know. It's.
I know. MMA guys talk about injuries, and it's like, you guys, every now and then, you like in pro fighters, you guys get knocked out. Like, that's no joke, you know? But when it comes to injuries, like yeah. how many injuries they've had, they always think that they're they've been through it and seen it all, and then I'll tell them a little bit about some of mine, and they're like, what the hell? And I'm like, yeah dude, skateboarding is...
Seems like the knees are the big one in MMA. I hear a lot of people always having trouble with, but I'm like, yeah, I mean, I've had, you know, 3 surgeries on my right ankle, 1 on my left. These things are just destroyed, so...
But when you were growing up and going through injuries, did you feel like... like, it was really scary, or did you feel like, I just want to get through this and get back to skating?
I don't think there was ever any that were, like, scary enough to where I thought too heavily on it. But I think at one point with my, remember with my right ankle when I was, like, 22, I think.
In Italy?
When I got, that was after all that. But when I got the surgery and then it didn't work because it was a cadaver one. And I just felt just, like, defeated, just, like, I did what I was supposed to do, and it didn't work.
And now you have to go back and do it again.
But I was, like, do I even do it? Like, I don't know. You know, like, I just felt just defeated and kind of not scared, more so just, like, I just had no more will to put energy towards making it better. Cause
the rehab, the surgery, all the things that you know you're going to have to do
again. I remember definitely crying from just, like... knowing what I was going to have to go through again. Because I wasn't in pain. It wasn't hurt. I just knew what was the next 8 months of my life again. And I was just like, I don't know. But then I went to a new foot specialist, Dr. Carrero in Encinitas, and that pretty much changed my life. Like, I was skating again in like 4 or 5 months, feeling as good as I ever did.
Because he basically did a surgery on Riley that he took onwards from there, where he's
it was like pretty it was like kind of newer technology. It's called like an internal brace, so it's like synthetic ligaments, like kind of like they're not my ligaments, it's like strands of carbon fiber type material.
He did it for Calvin too,
and
it worked
really well,
and now he does it for other people.
He had been doing it. He gave me a couple journals of people that he did it on, like he did it on this girl soccer player, and I read her like progress or whatever, but it was still pretty new, like the technology of doing it. So I think I was the first person who he did it on that was gonna really put it to the test of what
I was so what thankful it could do. You found him and afterwards,
so your ankle being that jacked and not looking like it's gonna heal, and you knowing that information, who's more dark about it? It sounds like you felt it more than he did.
Yeah, I just do whatever I can to use my connections.
Right.
Yeah.
To find the right person. I mean, I'm lucky that I know the head of ER at our local hospital and
hey, man,
a lot of connections and things.
With the stem cells and bioaccelerator, that was the... I know you didn't want to do it. I know you're not into things like that.
Yeah.
But I was... as a person that couldn't run in my 30s, that can run now after getting them, I know that if I go, hey man, you got to go to Columbia, you'd be like, dude, please.
Well, don't it try was, to push Riley me. Was the catalyst.
I told him that
Riley
I
was the catalyst to do it. Yeah, Riley said I want to try to do this for my elbows and my ankles, my joints.
Right.
And then I said, well, I've tried everything to get relief from my neck. Let's try that.
Yeah, and it's not even.
Yeah, but he told you to go because of me, so you're welcome.
Yeah. Man. And Jason got me the free cold plunge, so I'm forever thankful for that.
Or it could be that.
That's my favorite.
He won't thank me.
That's my favorite item.
No, I am thanking you.
Okay.
Thanks for the connection.
You're welcome. Man.
Yeah. I just had seen a lot about it through kind of the MMA world, because those guys are always, I feel like they're kind of on the forefront now of like being in optimal physical condition. And I just listened to so many of those podcasts and interviews and stuff. So I just figured,
well,
if it works for them, it should
work for
skating.
I saw firsthand with him and
just
with
Andy. Does.
Yeah.
Like, him and Andy were the success stories that I needed to, because, you know, it was a lot to commit a week to go down there. And
Like, I mean,
skating
again
after not skating for over a decade, and then right when I started skating again, my MCL snapped off, so I had to get a cadaver replacement.
Yeah.
But when I got those stem cells and I started skating again, like, I couldn't knee slide for the last 10 years of my skateboard career.
You had the, like, where you couldn't sit on your feet type...
No way.
...restriction,
Go out to the side.
I would touch my knee and then flick out and skid in my butt.
Yeah.
There's no... Like, there's times still to this day where if I knee slide and I stay on my knees all the way to a stop,
yeah,
it's almost like I've made a new trick. Like, I go, do you guys yeah. see that? And people yeah. are like, what are you talking about? I'm like, there was a complete knee slide yeah. all the way to the flat.
That is a trick.
Yeah, yeah. It is a trick now, like, because there was a time there where there was
my friends not have happening. A harder time doing that than a 360 flip. They're like, I don't know. I don't get how you do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. You just put your knees down and...
Yeah, I wanted that back so
it's
bad.
It's just that one-step thing.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But he learned it when he was...
But that's like, I have no issue whatsoever. I can sit on my feet with my knees bent and like put my back on the ground has never been my issue, but my knee can't go over my toe at all. Like my ankle is just a boot. It's just stuck. So like
still?
Still. Well, I mean, I'm hoping after the stem cells, that'll be the thing that fixes
it. I mean, it's not like I have 14-year-old ankles again.
No,
but
totally.
Will you notice the difference? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
People have asked me, they're like, well, what does it do? I'm like, honestly, if I can just skate without having to limp the next day after trying a trick, then yeah, that's enough for me to be it's worth it.
And that's why I went, because my neck just hurts after I skate after I do stuff. And it's been 2 weeks now.
It's only going
to get
better.
I skated for the first time just now.
You look great.
And I did a melon grab.
You did.
First melon grab since my surgery.
Really?
See? Yep.
Wow.
You're welcome.
That's awesome.
Thanks to Jason.
Yeah.
Thanks to me.
Thank you.
Jason allowed me to do a melon grab. That's why I'm sitting here.
It's all I wanted, dude. It's all I wanted. This is all I wanted. Okay, you're all welcome. I'm going
to
see you later.
To skate, for sure.
I'm done. My work is done here, ladies and gentlemen.
I wonder if we can convince Riley to cross over to Vert.
Why don't you just let him live, dude?
I'm not opposed to ever skating Vert, but I just feel like the drive to like progress in it is kind of just not there.
Yeah, because you've already done so much, and like your stories of your ankles and stuff. It's like, yeah, let me get into vert skating now, and I'm sure everything will work out.
It's
fine
just more
and
that
dandy.
It's more that I want to skate with the kids.
I get it. Sometimes
I can convince them to come over here. Yeah, there is a session. I mean, there was a session recently with Keegan, Miles, and Calvin.
Wow,
see that's. Badass.
That's pretty cool.
My son snowboards now, and he told me, like, he's working on a trick, and he's like, what's the one where, you know, you grab it, and then you kind of arch back, and I was like, well, which hand do you grab it with?
Like
he's like, my front hand. I'm like, a method air. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I can do method airs. I'm like, dude, if you just ask me that, you can't do it. Because you're supposed to know the name of it before you can do them.
Yeah.
And then the next weekend, he sends me a video of him doing a method air over the thing, and he's like, told you, dude. And I was like... But it made me so happy to see him do a method air.
I had a friend, though, that was like that skating who just, he didn't even know anything. He was just naturally good and just didn't even know what the tricks were he was doing. And I just always thought that was like, I just thought it was rad.
That's pretty cool.
I honestly try to carry that in with me to jiu-jitsu where I try to not nerd out too hard on all the terms and everything. Because I just want to be good and have fun and roll. I don't really care too much about
With you when it comes to jiu-jitsu, like when it comes to people announcing and stuff, because I'm a talker and people are like, why don't you announce fights? And I'm like, because I don't know the names of that stuff. Yeah. Like I'm more of a, I want to do it. I give a crap what it's called.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, I don't know any musical chord if you told me to play one, but I can play the guitar.
Can you read music?
No, not at all. I don't know anything.
I think I learned the same way as you, dude. There was videos where...
You guys both shred guitar.
I would just play it, and I'm just like, whatever.
I had VHS tapes because I'm older than you, but there was a live Metallica Sanitarium, and I was just like, where is his hands for Sanitarium?
Yeah.
And I'm like... and then I hear the sound, and I'm like, oh, I've got it!
I'm the smartest man alive.
Yeah, I felt like a genius, dude. Yeah. Absolute genius.
Yeah.
And then just to know the chords of that, and then because it's very basic picking for that.
Yeah.
Just the one little bit.
I think just by nature, because we've skated for so long, it's like a language that we just know, but I try almost to like avoid going down that rabbit hole with stuff like jiu-jitsu. I don't want to, you know... I don't want to just be so technically overthinking everything.
Because it's a feel.
I just want to just go. I just want to just roll.
It's a feel for sure. Yeah. Like you feel where you are. Especially jiu-jitsu guys, the 10th Planet guys with their names because of Eddie Bravo, where it's
Yeah, I mean, I learned the name of something and someone's like, oh no, that's this. And I'm called like, that, all right, yeah. Well, I guess that's same in skating where if someone asked me.
I mean, it's these days it's up for debate what tricks are because everything has morphed into street.
My favorite
park.
Thing is what you said one time recently was someone did what street skaters would call like a nollie. I guess a nollie 360, but you called it a switch caballero. I thought that was the raddest way to describe a nollie 360.
I like that.
I liked it more too.
But the funny thing is, the actual name for that trick is a helipop.
He did that to me the other day. Helipop. No, that guy that did the helipop nose slide at X Games, and I'm like, helipop. I'm like, what is that?
Oh yeah. Nollie backside 360 nose slide.
Yeah, thank you, Nollie backside 360.
Do you guys know how they
switch
named
caballero nose slide? Method? No.
Switch what?
Switch caballero nose slide. That sounds way cooler.
It does
sound cool.
Sounds way more
technical.
I would
rather just say that. People would give you shit. Well, definitely you'd hear from Steve Caballero if you said that. But
he's allowed to say it.
He can say
it. Everybody
switch
else,
cab.
He can say whatever he wants when it comes to cab.
Yeah.
Like, remember when rollerbladers raised their hand to tell you that it was a caballero, and I'm like, dude, you don't say caballerial. This is a no-handed aerial, and you have your boots laced onto your feet.
That doesn't make sense.
The tail would be, I mean, isn't the tail the whole point of the going off the tail makes it like a caballerial, right?
Yeah.
But I guess it would just be backwards if you're on your rollerblades, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they would raise a hand to notify the judges. I don't know. What's
or happening. That they're turning the other way, you mean?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So the method was named because they first did high air contests.
Yeah.
Neil Blender, he's always,
of course,
at the epicenter of naming tricks and stuff. But Neil and Lance and stuff, they would grab behind the foot and arch it. So that they go higher for the measuring stick.
Yeah.
That's the method.
And they're like,
because that's back then,
they're like,
the
how do you go higher? And they go, you got to grab like this and arch it. That's the method.
Of course.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've never even thought about why it was called a method, honestly.
Yeah, because it's the method to making your board go higher.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Genius.
There you go. You're welcome. You're welcome, everyone.
So good. That was so juicy.
I know these stories.
My son at dinner for his birthday the other day, he's like, I'm working on this new one where I grab like down here in between the board and I go, which hand? And he goes, the back hand. I'm like, yeah, okay, correct. If you do it with the front hand and you put your leg, you put your arm between your legs, you are a loser.
That's a roast beef.
And he's
right?
like, what are you talking about? I'm like, if you do front hand, you got to tuck the knee. You cannot do a Weddle with your hand.
Stink bug?
No. No, look.
Oh,
you
you're
can teach
it's
your
like
kid
an indie stink bug.
You can do indie stink bug all day.
Yeah, he's saying, but don't do.
But if you do,
don't do Weddle. Don't do Mew.
If you do Weddle and it's between the legs, you are a write off.
I don't know why. Naturally, I've always reached around the knee. That just feels
because you have his legs.
Yeah,
because you can do. You have. Like,
I don't have good hip dexterity though. I can't squat down at all.
Could you ever?
No, not really.
Were you ever envious of him because of the way he can?
I don't think I was envious, but I thought it was cool that
I
have all these photos.
I was so envious of that.
When he was really little, and I would just squat next to him to get at his height.
Yeah.
And I have these photos. I'm like, how the hell was I just doing that all the time?
Yeah, that's what I thought about every time you ever did it.
Sitting in a squat talking to Riley, just like, I can't do it now.
Good. Suffer. Now you know what it's like.
I have to be on my tippy toes.
But I don't have to anymore.
If I'm like squatting down.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have to anymore. He's 6 feet tall.
Yeah, I could never... Every time I ever whipped out trying to squat, I would immediately hate him in my head.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, I would have made that if I had.
I think you either have it or you don't.
Yeah,
that squat.
You are right.
Yeah.
And it's, you I think were it's, able to it's, squat, though,
it's
before.
The hips. Yeah, maybe. I think it's hips and ankles. That's why I can't do it because both of those are not in
They're
my
toast.
Favor anymore. Yeah.
Are you doing kickboxing or did you?
I'll do Muay Thai classes sometimes before I hurt my shoulder, but I want to get back to it. I was really liking Muay Thai a lot, but I just like Muay Thai more just because of just the technique, the style felt more natural than kickboxing to me, but
I mean, they're all...
It's all kind of similar, but...
It is pretty similar, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just felt better doing the kicks, like, Muay Thai style than kickboxing.
Yeah, because it's more... Like, kickboxing is more... It's punching and kicking. They're more
I
about,
just like kicking more than punching, so I think that's why Muay Thai feels a little more...
Muay Thai is more technique. Like, Muay Thai is like, you can... There's a kick where people do it, some people do it, and they hit you, and you go... You don't know. You go, oh, that's pretty good, and then your leg doesn't move, and you're like, what? What did you just do?
Yeah.
Like, they hit something different that stops your leg from working instantly.
Muay Thai is just brutal.
Right?
Yeah, it's just like...
That's
like
harsh.
Some guys do a kick where they know where there's a part of your
like
meat.
A funny bone.
Yeah, like the meat is, they move the meat out of the way. I also noticed this, real good guys from conditioning their shins have made their muscle move out of the way so their bone is sticking out of the front of their leg.
That's one thing those skaters kind of have an advantage of is our bones, our shins are already destroyed.
I've noticed that when you check kicks, you're supposed to, like, you use your shin to check the kick.
Yeah.
And people that have only been doing Muay Thai for a couple of years, if they check, it still hurts. It never hurt me.
Yeah, because I can whip this shin around and I don't even feel it, honestly.
It's numb.
Yeah, it really is. No.
Same with tattoos. People are like, man, the shin and the knees hurt. And I was like, I bet your mind
don't. I like how we're saying it's an advantage to have.
It is,
though. Yeah, shins. It really is. No, I mean,
if I hit mine, I have no idea how much damage it did until I look at it.
Yeah, that's you're good. You're blessed.
Yeah.
No, I hate it.
Well, because most people have never felt a shinner. We, like, that's what
right,
we
right, but also mine's paper thin. So if you just brush it, it's like, oh,
yeah,
great.
You do bleed.
Yeah, that one. I don't have that issue for some reason.
Shiny.
Just where it, like,
just your shins.
Yeah.
Your shins are hideous. One. But also.
That's from snowboarding. That's from my boot rubbing.
Oh, gnarly.
And then it just rubs away.
I mean, that, I'm going to vomit. Your leg is disgusting, dude. Tan that thing or something.
Jeez.
Man. That thing
That's
is
why
like...
I rather get all the tattoos, to hide all the scars.
Yours don't look like that, right?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You haven't looked at your shin?
No, I'm saying I just don't know if they look...
Yeah, you don't have it.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Yeah, you look... those are legs of a...
Since I hurt my shoulder, I've been... With Milford, we've been doing full leg sleeves, and it's been torturous, but... I wanted to do it when I was hurt because I knew I'd never do it otherwise.
Yeah.
But it really Because
it takes so long?
Just because you just can't, it like, it really hurts. Like, we did most of down here yesterday, and it's
oh, dang.
Like, it really hurts.
Yeah, his buddy Milford's.
Dang, homie, you're catching talented. Up.
Yeah.
I gotta get in there.
But, oh my God, on the butt, it was the worst spot I've ever felt.
Try butthole.
Yeah, I can't, and I don't want to.
It's another level.
Yeah.
What?
This is what I get.
It's
what around it you have a tattoo or something?
Yeah, I have the whole thing tattooed.
That's what I get.
The
for
butt.
What
do you
mean? With him and bringing my son into the show.
The butt
it's,
is
we're
no
tattoo
joke.
Talk.
Though.
You got to take it all into like it's gross or something.
The
it's
butt,
a part of the anatomy. Get
the
over
butt
it.
Hurts really bad.
It wasn't. I got a stick and poke first, and then the stick and poke was so bad that
covered
I wanted
it.
To get it, yeah get it yeah. covered, and then yeah it was it's the top of your head's worse than your butthole.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. Yeah.
Words to live by.
Yeah, remember that, kids.
Yeah.
Are you going to get your head tattooed?
I don't think so.
Fair enough.
I thought I was maybe going to lose my hair sooner, but it seems like it's still here.
Oh, so. Shut up.
I remember.
I hate you.
I remember.
How dare you expose that hairline?
Your grandpa.
Mine might be going bald.
I sure
never
was. I shaved
bald.
It. I shaved it because I was like, I just, I thought
what
I wasn't.
What are you talking about?
I have a funny
like
story
when about. It was really long, I was like, I think, I don't know. I thought it was starting to go out, so I was like, I don't want to be the guy with the crazy wispy like long hair.
Yeah.
And then it once I shaved it, it just started coming back naturally more because I was like it could I don't know, it was starting to be taken care of again, I guess. Cuz I just it was just getting dready and just like
okay, maybe that. But you are not going bald, dude. Trust me.
For
you
know, a second you know, I thought
there's some theory or folklore that it's your mom's dad
yeah.
you pattern after.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget one time he's like wait, so I'd have hair like, and his grandpa was there, and his grandpa's bald. He's like,
oh, no.
So I'd have hair like grandpa?
Yeah.
Daryl?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Well, that's another reason
and
why
then
I was like,
was,
oh, yeah.
He just started laughing. He's like,
I'm going to get it. But I think if I have it this 31,
yeah,
it's
I
still
think,
there.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
I'm good.
Yeah, you'd have to show.
It'll thin, I'm sure, but.
Yeah, it'll thin when you're older than him, which means who cares because your head's riddled anyway. As long as your hair stays.
Well, I think
with
at a certain
face,
point, people expect you're going to have thin hair, right? It's just. That's kind of...
Yeah, when you're really old. Like, way older than us.
seems like I have a lot of homies though, like Shay, he lost his hair really young. I don't know, just genetic, I guess.
He's, yeah, those because he's an evil person.
He's a stressed
God,
person.
What?
God hates them.
Oh. Okay.
Joking. He's a stressed person.
Those are not words to live by.
No, this is just
But
a
no,
joke.
I don't think I would ever go head or neck. I don't know. Right.
That was my only response to him, actually, when he sent me the picture of his tattoo, his first one.
Okay, so there was...
I said, don't do your neck.
Right.
But I think that was like almost... No offense, bro. That was like a different... Like back then, tattoos still...
Each to their own, you know?
It still had a different stipulation back then, I feel like even. It's just... I feel like it's so much more normal now to have just full, just everything.
I see. When you... There was a time there where they were called job stoppers.
Yeah, the hands.
And getting tattoos and not having a job is pretty dumb. Like, I get that angle. But now, you know, like people work in... retail and restaurants and
we see
you know
people now with like face and no anywhere else.
You're well, those are the things that I, because I feel like when you get your first tattoos, they're the worst ones.
Yeah,
and if you get your worst ones on your neck and on your hands, that's like
that sucks.
You know, like I got some jank on me, but sure. those were my first ones that are like where my legs are. I never got
Riley's legs are his. Sketchboard.
Yeah. Did you do them yourself?
Yeah.
I've done some on my thighs. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I know those guys.
Yeah. I hit up Olivia though, actually recently to have
Oh yeah.
Do
she
one.
Said that.
She did. She's really good.
She's awesome. She did that chain link.
I can't believe how good she got so quick. Right?
She's awesome.
Olivia Underhill. Yeah.
Her style is sick.
Yeah. She's awesome.
She's in LA. Hit her up.
Yeah.
I felt bad for her. I went to Miles' shop to like hang out and support Miles. And then when I get there, everybody's lit. You know what I mean? They're all like 20.
Yep.
And it's just a bunch of vaping kooks. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, I really love you, Miles. I'll hang out. And then I see her in the corner tattooing people.
Like, this is my way to not have to.
Well, I was like, if I get a tattoo, she was like, do you want to get a tattoo? And I was like, yeah, I'll get a tattoo. So now I think she wants me to get a tattoo because then I'll post it and she'd be stoked to tattoo me. And I'm like, I'd be stoked if you tattoo me. So this works. But there's a line of vaping kooks that are getting tattoos, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to be here for like another hour before I get tattooed. But I was like, stay.
Did you go to the shop then, or you did it there?
Oh yeah, no, I hung out, dude. I was
that's like
right
Miles,
in the middle of it.
Miles has only good tattoos. I'm like, you need to get some shitty ones.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
all his are just very curated and perfect. Yeah, I'm like, damn it,
by all the top artists.
Yeah, kook of the week, man. Like, you got to get some jank. Like, come over to my house. And
I just feel like if you don't have a couple bad ones, there's something off.
Miles, Riley did one of Miles.
I did do one. That's probably his worst one. Yeah.
Probably.
Definitely his worst one.
It's definitely his worst one. Yeah, I know. All his every time he shows me a tattoo, I go, oh, man, that's sick.
It's like really, really good.
Yeah, like you're a kook, you know?
True.
Like, I don't want to get to, because there's guys now that are really good. I don't want to get their tattoos because it'll make all my other tattoos look even worse than they are.
Yeah, you got to like match the,
I gotta,
aesthetic.
This
going.
Is the thing. Like, that's why it's like getting laser. Like, my friend said, hey, man, do you want to get laser? And I was like, no. And he's like, come on, man. Like, they got a van that comes to your house and they laser it off. And I could tell that it's his friend and it's publicity for his friend to tell people that you can get laser. And that's cool if you don't
like
your tattoos.
Nightmare.
I just don't care. Like, if I have a bad tattoo, I'll get a bigger, crappier one over the top of it.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, problem solved.
Yeah.
But I did it the other day, and it's like, you go, but you have to go, and you have to go, and you have to go so many times.
And it doesn't really even work, right?
No, right?
It works.
But did you get how many times?
But like,
you
had a tiny one, right?
I had to go about 8 times.
Okay, that's...
But for, like, a tiny one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you have, like, if you're trying to get this, like, there's no way.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy, it was a movie or a documentary about a guy that was, you know, into drugs and the really crazy life. And was, I think he was in racist gangs or something. And he had, like, crazy face tattoos that were really inappropriate. And then they showed an after, because it showed that when he got better and fixed himself and, you know, want change his ways, they were lasering this off and it was like really thick black stuff.
Yeah.
And they showed an actual photo of him and it was gone.
Really?
And I was like, man, that must have been
a lot of sessions.
Because, I had it on my toe and I was like, ooh, I wouldn't want 8 hours of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like he had that.
I mean, painful. Just getting tattooed now hurts more than I remember it when I was younger, for sure. It starts hurting way more.
There is an age where you go, I know, right? Where it's like it starts and you're like, because I've been, like, I'm covered, so for me to flinch a tattoo is not a good idea. I won't do it.
Yeah.
And I won't get any numbing stuff because I'm old school.
Yeah.
But it's, there's been ones before where it starts and I'm like, man, how many hours is this going to go for? Yeah. But I don't say it. I just think it in my head.
For sure.
I found a new guy who's like, he's gentle.
There you go. Yeah, Milford is not.
I don't want to say
got a heavy hand. He's old.
It doesn't
school.
Hurt.
Yeah. Milford goes.
Yeah, I don't think he would change his ways for your comfort.
No, they don't. Yeah, traditional guys.
No, he's homie. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's super funny, dude.
He's like.
He's an old vert skater.
He's like Forrest Gump meets Spicoli.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's been in every prime situation.
When we were working on my legs last time, he was saying that we were watching some tattoo show, and it was some famous tattoo artist talking about some era, and he was like, he's like, I literally feel like Forrest Gump. He's like, I was working at that shop during that time he's talking about. And I remember seeing him coming
and
going.
Built some of the first half pipes and stuff like that.
They brought his ramp from his house to the skate park of Tampa, and that was his ramp.
Wait, the Tampa ramp was...
Yeah, it was the one that was at his house.
Yeah. That ramp was sick.
I know.
Yeah.
That's where I did kickflip.
No, remember I was telling you that
he
he was telling me when he was doing a contest, he was on, I think it was GNS or something.
Oh, with my dad?
And someone didn't show up, and he entered as them because he rode for GNS too, and my grandpa knew who the guy was, and so when Milford was on the deck, he's like, no, like, you're not so-and-so.
My dad knew who the guy missing was.
Yeah, and he's like, no, and Milford was like, fuck you, and he, like, said he dropped in and tried to do this Texas plant and just hung up and got knocked out. And he said, he was like, I'll never forget. He was like, that was the funniest, dumbest thing
I've
ever done.
Like, the idea that my dad would be pissed at him, too, like, this asshole, knocked out.
And now you're knocked out, like... Yeah. My responsibility.
And he said too, he's like, man, I was ripping that day. Like, I thought, he's like, this is my day. Like, things are gonna turn around after today.
To steal someone's identity.
Yeah, because he was like, I was skating good and like I was in the contest finally, and he was just like, yeah, he said it was not how he thought it was gonna go.
Man, that kind of happened to me on Monday when Reese was ripping, and I was like, whatever, because it was like a couple of rides in. I was like, I know you can't do this trick and this trick and this trick, and I was like, try this, and then you can't try that, and then all of a sudden Tony's talking to me on the couch like, where am I and what am I here to do? And I was like, no.
That was brutal. I watched the video and I was like, I can't believe that there was even question of doing the podcast after once I saw the video.
Well, you know how it goes, dude. Like, when you're in mindset, like, I came down here, we got a show to do, I'm doing it.
Yeah, well, just so everyone knows the context of that story, we were supposed to record this a couple days ago, and Jason was skating before we were going to record, and he got KO'd, which has been out there, everyone... It's probably seen it.
I posted it.
But then he still wanted to do the show. Riley was going to be here,
but I live so close that it didn't even matter. It was like,
and trying to convince you of that was next to impossible.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, no, Riley can come another day. He lives here. It's. Okay.
I mean, I've been around. My homies. When people get KO'd, they just get stuck. You get stuck in that loop of like, no, it's all good.
Like, and I don't want to let anybody down. You know, like, I'm gonna say I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna do it. You know,
I was just hoping you're okay, because I was like, oh, that's terrible. Thanks,
dude. Hey, I'm okay. Well, I skated today and did the trick that I got knocked out on. So
conquered it.
New skateboarding, but
that's why I'm going to Mammoth this month, so I can say fuck you to the.
Yeah.
Box.
Yeah.
Are you gonna go ride that same box?
No, I'm not going on the box. I just need to get on the mountain and turn.
That's why. I was like, I'm not gonna skate for long, but I'm gonna skate because, you know, people were like, man, at your age, maybe you thought about quitting, and I'm like, no. I'm like, man, I quit drugs and alcohol. Like, I quit all these things, and now you tell me no skateboarding. Like, there's a line, you know.
Yeah.
And that one is not. I just started to love it again. I'm not.
Yeah.
You're not taking that away from me. I don't care how many times my head bounces off the ground. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
When I was skating, I grabbed my helmet and I was like, well, what's that thing right there? And then I took my helmet off and the padding is cracked open.
As it should be. It saved your life.
Yeah.
That's when you know it worked, right? Yeah. When it cracks like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then cool. That's a good helmet. Because I feel great.
I'm going to go find you a new one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Riley's here, so we have to take advantage of him being here with kid stories.
Yeah.
I am curious, was there ever a time where you felt like, oh, I'm good at this skateboarding. Like, I'm actually can do the things that I set out to do in it.
I don't think there was ever an exact time when I realized that. I think just because, too, like, I was around so many other kids that were good at it, too. It just felt like that was just, like, a thing you did. I don't know. I have a lot of friends that have moved here from other places, and they always call it, like, the SoCal kid thing. They're like, you guys are fucking good at everything, like, skating, surfing, whatever it is. Like, I just grew up around people that were doing it, too. So I think it just felt like everyone mm-hmm. kind of was good at it. But then there was definitely, I think, a time when maybe we were filming, like, the Shep Dogs videos where we were all starting to really push ourselves, and maybe that was kind of when I was more set on, like, progressing as a street skater and filming video parts.
I remember having a conversation with you, and it was like, Riley, you're not just good for your age. Like, you're really good at this.
And was he surprised when you were telling him that, or did he know?
No, I don't think so. But he was talking about getting pretty serious into motocross.
Yeah, that was at that time when I really liked
and
riding, yeah.
It was going to be really hard for his mom and I to support that.
Because it was at that point, it was my mom's ex-husband, Mike, who was new about it and was taking me. And then he kind of wasn't around anymore. And then it was, you know how moto is. If you don't know anything about it, like, it would be hard for my dad to load up the bikes and get me out.
Yeah,
I mean, man, I'd like to watch that.
I did go a couple times. I spent a couple days at the track.
But moto is such a family commitment.
Yeah. Like, I go get in and out for everyone.
Yeah.
Come back. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Just sitting in the dirt all day. Yeah. And I was like, it was more like, this is not sustainable.
That's so much fun.
And I felt bad. Well, it was more like I felt bad because I was like, I can't support you in this. Yeah. And I know you want to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And I go, but I just, you know, I have to tell you that you are seriously good at skateboarding.
Yeah.
I just think I just liked it so much. That's why I think I just liked doing both. So I didn't think too much about it, but
right,
I
remember love
we
it.
Went to,
you love it.
We went to England for the audio shoes tour.
Yeah.
What was it, like, Jamie Thomas, Jeremy Ray, everyone?
Yeah. Bam. Oh, it was like the big crew.
We went to one of the indoor skate park. One of the first demos we did, I'll never forget. Jeff Taylor.
Is it the PlayStation Park?
It was after that.
Oh, okay.
Whatever one of the first parks we went to, I think it might have been Manchester, it might have been PlayStation. And Jeff Taylor hadn't seen Riley skate in a while.
Yeah.
And you know, he was there to video and stuff, but he was a pro skater.
Yeah.
And then I remember he saw Riley do something over this ledge, and he's like, that's it, Riley's better than me. And I remember that moment thinking, like, yeah, he is that good, but there's always this thing where it's like, well, he's pretty good for his age, or he's your kid, and
yeah.
And then it was like, no, he's really good.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know when there was. I don't know when the.
I mean, I don't think you would have felt that
moment
shift, but yeah. Well, definitely when Andrew asked you to be on the team.
Yeah, I mean,
before that, though, right?
I think at that point, I just knew that me and, like, Kirby and Rowan and Taylor Smith and everyone were skating. Like, we were skating at a level that was far more advanced than what our age was. Like, we were in it. We were just really doing it, like, street skating all the time. Everyone was pushing each other, and everyone was so good that I guess we didn't realize how...
That you guys were on a different level of people your age.
But I think that around that time, I just knew I could film a video part that was worthy to be in a Baker video. I didn't know if it was going to be received that way by people watching it, but I just felt, I didn't feel like I didn't belong on the team, if that makes sense.
When did you want to be a pro skateboarder?
I don't know. Probably not till like maybe 15 or 16, I feel like, really. Because I was still just liking doing everything. I was surfing all the time. I was really into motocross. And
when Andrew obviously approached you, you told me that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I was all for it because I felt like that's finally some validation. That's not just because he's under my watch or shadow or whatever, that Andrew is not going to pick someone for nepotism.
Right.
Right. And Andy's definitely, you know, he's known for having an eye for talent. So that is probably a big boost for your confidence as well. Mm. But would you have felt like if you, let's just say that didn't happen, you're right at Birdhouse and there was a Birdhouse Riley Hawk model, would you have felt like that was just more forced?
No, not really. I don't think I would have felt like it was forced. I just think that, I guess I didn't really fully understand, like, where I sat in regards to being a pro. But I think after that Baker video that first came out that I was in, I didn't expect people to, like, receive it the way they did. And a lot of people were like, that was, you know, the best part in the video, this and that. Or people just were just, I think I really pushed myself for that one. And so after that happened, I just figured if I just stay, maybe just try to just stay on this trajectory, it'll, you know, I think, you know, when you're on the right path, you just have to keep going that way.
Seems like it took you a long time to realize the potential you had. Like, do you think it's because you were always around all of us and you were on demo, you've been good for so long that you got used to it before you even turned pro?
Yeah, I think maybe it was just so a part of my life that there wasn't really a time up until that point, you know, when I was like 16, 17, 18, that I really just kind of put everything mentally focused into skating. Whereas before it was, I didn't want to miss out on any, I wanted to do everything everyone was doing, you know?
Yeah.
If people were going surfing, I wanted to go surf. If people were doing this, and I'm glad I did that, because now growing up I have so much common ground with so many people that I meet in my life where I can go and do something, and you know, it's not like it's gonna be my first day out there every single time someone wants to go do something. So I definitely am grateful that I did that, because I think a lot of people, like, you know, David and Figgy and all those guys, were way ahead of their age group as far as skill level. Like they were all in on skating even when they were 13, 14, 15. That was it. And so I think I just didn't really double down until I was maybe a little later than they were.
He definitely would take interest in things and go all in on finding out about it.
Right.
I just think I didn't care about feeling like I only had, like, anything that wasn't skating was lame. I was just, like, liked motocross, and then I would get super stoked on surfing and just
want to surf. What I'm trying to say is you like motocross, but then you would build a motorcycle. That's a different level of interest.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to just be, I think it's like anyone, when you get stoked on skating, you want to, you know, learn everything there is to know about
it. Wait, you built a motorcycle?
Well, I didn't build a dirt bike, but I have friends that we've built motorcycles, like Harleys and stuff.
Yeah,
but
really got into how it works.
You know how to build it.
Yeah,
I mean, I couldn't build it myself, but I've, with my friends, we've done it. We've done it to where it runs.
That's a lot.
But
so when you got good, when you were like, okay, now I'm on a team, I'm pro, I see my future. Was it a different attitude from then on? Because it seems like you've been pretty casual about your skateboard career.
I feel like I almost kind of, it was hard because right when I turned pro is almost the start of just this super drawn out couple years of ankle injuries, and I just never really got to, like, get the ball rolling, I felt like.
And do you think the injuries happened because you started to go too hard because you realized
it was... I was trying stuff that... I remember distinctly the first time I really hurt my right ankle, I was at Black Box in Carlsbad, and I was trying to learn how to do 360 flip Smith down the handrail because I wanted to do it on this rail.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is kind of, I've never done like a trick like this down a handrail.
Yeah.
And I was getting really close, and then one time I just didn't get in. I got into a 50-50 and I slipped out, and I just kind of sat back on my ankle, and I was like, whoa, something bad just happened. And it was just because I was, like you said, I think I was just pushing myself. Because
you were pushing it.
Yeah, I was just really pushing it. And then it was just kind of unlucky that I just kept, it just kept happening. Like, right. Just, once it happened once, it was just prone, and then it just kept, from there, just snowballed, kind of.
Do you think you've ever had a window where you weren't hurt and you were completely focused?
I mean, like, the last few years, I think, has been the first time I felt, like, really just healthy and focused mentally. I think I was mentally not so focused in my early to mid-20s just because of injuries and then just, you know, just, like, life happening and going down other avenues, wanting to do stuff like music and stuff like that. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
So now you would say that you're more focused on skateboarding than ever?
I think I think now I just see it more like it is actually, it is something that I have, it's like a job that I have to really put everything I have into, my mental and physical, to be able to do it the way I want to. And you know, when you're younger, it just comes easy and it's just like fun. And then all of a sudden one day it just stops happening like that.
Yep.
And you kind of get stuck in this weird moment where you're like, what the fuck? I can't do these things I want to do. And I don't understand why it's not working. And then it takes some time to learn that it, you know, it all has to do with your lifestyle and mental and kind
of
like,
he made a big shift in terms of his lifestyle and his approach. And
it sounds like it.
Eating well, healthy, not drinking. Like, yeah, I think really I just figured it out.
I just saw that it was not where it was heading. That was not going to be somewhere that I could do the things I want to do, you know? So tried to shift it. And luckily I think I caught it early enough to where I still have some time to skate at a level that I want to. And then obviously I think, you know, there's always a time when you have to just pull back because it's just the reality of,
yeah,
of your physicality and your, but not your yet. Body. No, not yet. I think not I got
at all.
I think I got some time before I'm ready to consciously look at a spot and be like, yeah, no, it's just not worth it, you know?
So does that mean you have big plans for the near future?
I'm just skating and filming and just trying to just do stuff that I'm stoked on and not, you know, I'm just trying to not half-ass anything when I'm out filming. I want to do things that I have specific tricks that I want to do and film. And I think that's just how it is now. I think people, it's much more, skating is so much more like thought out and methodical nowadays with video parts. And you see these people that have these epic video parts, you just know watching it how much work went into it and how much thought and all that stuff.
So, and that's what you're working on.
I'm trying to. I mean, yeah, that's, the shoulder was a little bit of a setback, which was a bummer because I wasn't even skating, but that, you know, I was telling a couple of buddies, it's just like I was due one somewhere because I was just getting away with too much all at once. You can't be doing everything like that and expect nothing to happen. So, yeah.
So now you would be, if you're doing other sports, you would be like, let's enjoy ourselves.
It checked me a little for sure, right. Especially snowboarding. I was like, okay, I need to just pull back because it was, I know I can push myself there, but it's not worth it right now when I have these goals that I want to do skating. So
it's a window that you have.
I'm in that window right now. So
right.
When this is better, I'm really trying to focus on just put it all on the line for skating versus like, you know, divvy it out throughout a bunch of different things. So,
I mean, when you think about it, if you're doing all these other things, you always have been doing all these other things while being a very successful pro skateboarder. Normal,
yeah.
Imagine if you channeled it all into just your skateboard part, like what it's going to look like.
I try to not make it feel so overbearing in that way. I don't want it to feel, you know, like it's taking too much of a mental toll, but I think that you need some of that push to where you go to a place mentally you don't really want to, but I think that's how you get the best results out of doing something you want to do. So,
right, because in the end, there's going to be that payoff.
Exactly.
Where there was some grueling times and you were in a mental space where you were like, this is not the most enjoyable mental space to be in, but
for
the
sure.
payoff.
There's a fine line of like when it's working too easy and then when you're putting in just that right amount of effort and struggle to where it really feels good when things do work out.
Right. When you, and in your era, like to be good now.
I mean, it's so,
everyone
insane.
Is so
everyone
good.
Is so good. It's nuts. I mean, I think like if I film the best video part I can possibly film, there will be people that are like, that was awesome, that was the best video part you've had, but then, you know, it's gonna just go into this big machine of globbed internet video stuff, and that's just is what it is.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not the same where it used to be, you know, there is this video and everyone knows, like, this guy, there's the guy right now.
Yeah.
And it's just that, like, that does kind of happen, but not really anymore.
But it's not what it's about in the end, like, when it's all said and done, it's not about that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've just been skating a lot with a lot of my buddies that I grew up skating with, and we've been taking the Birdhouse van, and it feels it. I really have felt like it's that era again where we're all 16, 17, 18, and we're just having a lot of fun, but the skating is working really well because of that vibe and that energy, and we're just trying to keep riding that wave.
Hold on to it, man, because that's a sweet pocket.
And I think now, having gone through that with, like, all the Shep Dogs videos and everything,
we didn't
realize how awesome something was that we had when we had it, and now looking back in hindsight, I can feel that that's how it feels right now skating with my friends. So I'm just really trying to enjoy it and, like, take advantage and go on all these trips and do it in a way that feels fun again, you know.
Smart, man.
That's so cool. Whether you know it or not, you know, all of your siblings, half siblings, cousin siblings, we'll get into that, but
yeah.
I think you've inspired all of them with your attitude, with your skating, with your eclectic interests, and getting good at all this stuff, and I see a little bit of you in all of them.
Yeah.
But they're all looking towards you, so to see you have this sort of coming of age of you know, getting healthy and having a better outlook, it's really comforting for me, because I know they're all looking at you.
Yeah.
Because you are the oldest of all. I mean, Riley has a lot of relatives.
Yeah. Yeah, I know most of them,
but
it's hard to keep up.
I think that's kind of, it seems like stuff is going in that direction in society anyways, where younger people are starting to understand a bit more.
But I think the fact that you took the incentive at your age, and, I mean, now you're a responsible adult. You're married. Like, you're the self-sufficient man, and
yeah.
I think they're seeing that, and they're very inspired by it, and also they know that they're capable of it.
Yeah, no, I think not having, when you're the oldest, you don't have those people to do what I'm doing for them. So it can take a little while to figure that stuff out, you know? So I'm grateful that.
Because I certainly wasn't doing it for them.
Yeah. No. But no, I know what you mean. It's good that they can see, I guess, someone making a conscious effort.
No, it's really cool. But like I said, I see them all. They all looked up to you all through their lives. And, you know, I remember it even when they were super little. Like, is Riley here?
But it's cool that, I mean, like you said, they all have so many interests that they're all...
Oh, and they all have huge potential.
Yeah, they all are very good at a lot of things. And I like learning about stuff that they do from them, you know. And definitely, I think Spencer and Keegan, I mean, everyone, they're all, like, very talented at the things they do. And
I mean, Tanner is a pro skater.
Yeah, Tanner is a half brother. Pro, yeah.
Miles is one of the greatest executive producers of the Jason Ellis Show ever.
Yeah, that's Miles true. Is
it's posse.
Miles is one of those guys too, though. Like, when it comes to MMA and stuff like that, I love picking. He always teaches me all kinds. He's so, like, he's such an MMA nerd.
Yeah, he is.
He's dialed
it's
in.
Fun to talk to him about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he's awesome.
Okay, you want to hear my funny Riley story that I tell people?
Okay.
I mean, I have several, but we were in Australia. You'll like this one.
Yeah.
He was like 3 and a half, maybe 4. And I was skating Big Day Out for Airwalk.
Yeah.
But I was at the mercy of Airwalk's demands. So I was skating Big Day Out, doing demos in between, doing shop appearances every day.
Dude.
It was painful. So finally, like, we get to go do something fun. So we go to the zoo, and you can go sit with kangaroos, right?
Yeah.
So we go, and Riley, and there's a little kangaroo, and Riley's looking at it, and he's like, whoa, like, this guy's my size.
Yeah.
And then he squared up.
And wait, the kangaroo did?
The kangaroo squared up and punched him and knocked him down.
You got assaulted by a kangaroo?
Yeah.
You remember that, right?
Yeah, no, I remember.
And then he comes up to me, and he's like, I was like, are you okay? He's like, we got to find his mom.
and tell him that he's grouchy and he needs a nap.
You got punched by a kangaroo.
But what a great attitude. People don't even believe that story when I told people.
Oh, yeah. I was far enough away where I couldn't prevent it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no. Oh,
I mean, okay. In the kangaroo's defense, were you sizing him up?
I don't know.
Sounds like you were.
It was finally like the kangaroo was like, oh, a person my size.
Yeah.
Standing up.
Like, I think I'm probably just like the ignorant American kid that doesn't know anything about kangaroos and just thinks I can walk up.
Oh, dude, don't
do
that to yourself. I don't care where, if you were born in the outback, if you're a three and a kangaroo that size walks up to you, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know what I was doing.
There's no rule.
But it was almost like a petting zoo vibe where they just let you just like walk up to him.
But he punched you with his hands?
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, that means he likes you.
Okay.
It's the kick that where they don't like it.
That's when they're trying to do damage. Yeah.
He thought you were a kangaroo.
What do you remember from those early... I took you to Japan when you were that age too.
I mean, I don't remember much, but I remember weird specific places and like demos for some reason. And that's kind of it. Not much other than that. Like, I remember we were talking about it, I think in Colombia, there was like a weird like indoor skate shop with like ramps in it in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I can tell that story. You were younger then. I think you were maybe just three.
That one almost feels like it's one of those like dream memories where I don't even know if it's real.
So,
but you have confirmed that it is.
There was a skate distributor and skate shop in Japan.
Did you fight a panda bear?
What's that?
Did he fight a panda bear?
He didn't, no. But the skate shop was paying me to put stickers on my board every month. I had like sponsors were dwindling.
Yeah.
Right? This is 94-ish.
Yep.
And I wasn't making much money, and they were paying me a monthly salary just to put a sticker of their shop in Japan. Like,
okay.
To promote it. And I was like, yeah, sure. And they're like, we want you to come do demos. Like, what do you mean? Well, we're gonna put up some ramps in the shop. And I go, well, I don't have childcare. And Riley's mom works. And they're like, just bring him. I go, if I bring him, someone has to like sit with him while I skate.
Yeah.
He's little.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we can do it. No problem.
You went to Japan with a 3-year-old?
Yeah. And then, man. And so I told Riley, like, we're here every day. You can pick out one toy every day. You know, but you have to sit quietly while I skate. And he would sit on top of this jump ramp or like a quarter pipe. It was probably 4 feet wide.
Yeah.
And like
the ramps were small though.
Tall. And so he would sit there and play with his Power Rangers on the deck.
But they had those like rad Japanese like anime.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was super fun. Yeah. And then
toys were super cool. I remember
they finally have one person, like the first few demos I did, it was just like, just sit here for half hour, please. And then he would like try to get my attention while I'm skating.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm like, yep, that's cool. It's all right. It was hard. But then they finally, there was someone that worked at the shop that was down with kids and he played with you. And then at some point you preferred his company to mine when we were there, because he was like, where's that guy? There was he like doing the thing.
Yeah, he
did the Power Rangers.
He played the Power Rangers.
Got
yeah,
the
yeah.
Rangers.
Yeah. That was. But it's funny. Like I wondered if you would remember those things. And
I do remember that one more specifically. And then I remember there was some other demo that was like outdoor with like a launch ramp. And I think it was on that trip. Maybe
it's possible. Yeah. On that same one. They were trying to get us to do 3 demos a day in the shop,
mm-hmm.
and it was just exhausting. And then this one day, like, we did a second demo. I think it was almost closing time. There was no one there. Riley and I went back to the hotel. He fell asleep, and they called me in the room of the hotel, and they're like, you have to come back for the last demo. And I'm like, no, I don't. No one is like, yeah, this is the contract that you... The contract.
Dude.
And so I had to pick up Riley.
That's always how it
asleep,
is over there, though.
Put him in a cab.
Dude.
And put him, lay him down like somewhere in the shop asleep.
Yeah.
Do this fucking demo for like 15 people.
Oh,
that was
God.
Where I was like, all right, this is like the lowest point of my pro career as a father.
Yeah.
I think that's why I'm so easily able to go with the flow when I travel, though, because I don't give a shit about what we're doing.
And he will sleep anywhere.
See, I got a question. Because you're always around Tony when people go, holy shit, Tony Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had that since you were little. Like, I feel like it doesn't happen as much as as him, but it did to me. But I've had people when my kids were little go, "Holy shit, you're Jason Ellis!" And I've seen my son go, "What? Like, who cares? It's dad."
Yeah.
And then the dynamic of move, kid. I want to take a photo with this guy, and I'm like, "Hey, man, that's my son." Like,
no, he'll, like, I don't think anything like that has ever happened.
No, but that's not the question. Is like, have you ever like, does it ever get weird to you, or are you so used to it? Like now, people.
I think know, one thing that like you kind of instilled in me when I was young is how important those moments are to people, even if you don't realize it. And I think that kind of changed my perspective of allowing someone to have that moment, because
wow,
that's something that they don't, you know, maybe ever get again in their lifetime, where they see this person yeah. that they really yeah. look up to. Or, and it instilled also, you would explain, you know, when you give these people that time of day and you let them have this conversation for a second, it goes so much farther to them than you would ever imagine. If you are a dick or whatever the situation is, that's then all they know. Definitely are going to remember
I,
that.
It's because I had those experiences.
With yeah, bros. But I think it made me think differently about those moments, how it's super important to them, and
yeah.
it's okay to just let them have that. I mean, there are times when, you know, a conversation is getting dragged on and someone yep. has to maybe save you from it, but...
Yeah, because he can't save himself, because then he's a dick.
I'm the same way, though. I'll just sit there and just take it.
Is that you approachable? Yeah, I'm not trying to curse you when you're in public right now, but
no, I mean,
when
yeah,
people
I'm,
see,
well, because of that reason, I just if but it's someone not, comes
it,
up to me,
well, the way he explains it, it's not forced. He's genuinely.
I'm not trying to be nice out and
yeah,
just so I don't look like a dick to people, but
yeah, he has a genuine moments in conversation,
right?
But we both have I think we both have a really good way of ending interactions that are. You know, if people are drunk or if it's excessive,
yeah.
There are subtle ways of, I can't. It's hard to explain.
Yeah,
it's
show me.
There's other ways of having closure to a conversation.
Yeah,
like cool, good to see you. All right.
Yeah, I've seen you do that.
Or yeah, yeah. Just, yeah, I gotta go, or I don't know.
But you can find yeah. You can find an end point.
All right.
Yeah, but then it's there are forced. Sometimes genuine conversations that I'll have with someone that come up to me where they know a certain person that I know, and there is something that
sure
an interesting point to talk about. But there are times when, you know, it I don't know, there's people that can just ramble about stuff forever, and someone has to kind of end the conversation, otherwise you just get stuck there forever. But
right,
but Kathy's gonna save me from those.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, but I think just like you were, like we were saying, just being more, I guess, understanding of how important
yeah,
a moment
yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
to someone makes
no,
you
get it.
Just
yeah.
see differently. I mean, a lot most of the time it's obviously with him, so if I'm with him or we're with the family, everyone, like the family, will just keep kind of talking to ourselves amongst ourselves and let him have the moment. I feel like a lot of people are pretty good about understanding, like, I just have this, you know, whatever time, 30 seconds real quick to say what's up, say I'm a fan, and get a photo, and then kind of
yeah, I think it's more what, just because I'm older, and so there are grown ass adults that are
right. They, you know, they catch
kids,
on,
they
right.
get, yeah, for sure. But I see you, maneuver through the situations with grace, and I think it's really cool.
She learned from him,
yeah, for sure.
Well,
right.
yeah, but there it's not just learn; it is. It is the will, the it's like you'll try. You're willing to try.
We're both patient people when it comes yeah. to that type of interaction. Sure. That's for sure.
But I think you're willing to put in the effort too, and that says a lot.
Yeah, if you're willing to like at least put in a little effort to meet them halfway, it feels a little more, I guess, like an interaction than just this like chore you have to.
You're making me feel bad. I feel like I'm a dick sometimes,
but I get no, where
you get
it can
super stoked and people recognize.
I get where it can sometimes be I'm times that it moody. Feels, you know, it can feel sort of forced or harsh sometimes, for sure.
I just I get a weird one if someone is I feel like lying.
I can tell you can tell when someone like, has a weird intention. I feel like
yeah,
pretty quick.
And that one, well, I wish I could handle more like you two, where I feel like instead I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's like, hey, man, like, remember me? And I'm like, no. And they're like, what do you mean you don't remember me?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't remember you. Like, first of all, I barely know who I am.
Yeah.
But like, and have we met? No, but I've DM'd you on Instagram. And I'm like, well, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I should be like, oh, cool. I should be like, hey, man, that's cool. Hey, right hey. On.
Yeah.
And do a Tony instead of, because I.
That's me.
I puff up.
Hey, hey.
I think you just, I don't know. Hey, total. I feel like if you just let them have the win, it will just save you a lot of mental.
Yeah, because
but Riley grew up.
Mental time.
You know, he grew
stress.
Up. He had to have a built-in sort of BS detector because he'd go to school. People knew his last name.
Right.
There was a lot of that. So I feel like you developed that way of knowing what the intentions are. And now, I mean, with you and Francis, that makes it extra hard.
Yeah.
But you have that detector, so you kind of know.
That's yes, absolutely.
Like when a conversation starts, you know that the person's intentions are not.
You can tell when someone has like a weird energy, and you can tell that the conversation is going to go in a way that isn't going to end well for anyone, you know.
Like, and how do you handle that? Like the same way?
I mean, I don't know. I guess situational. Like it would just, if they were, that's the thing. I just don't think no one really says anything too like disrespectful or outlandish in person. It's always, you know, online you're going to get all that type of stuff. Right, but in person you don't really ever get it. And if that was the case, then I guess it's just situational, you know, whatever.
Is that what pulled you off of social media?
I think it was just the same thing like the music stuff. I just thought it just wasn't, I just felt like it had run its course in my life and it wasn't fun in any way. And why bother if it felt forced or weird, you know? So that was kind of the main reason, I guess.
But now you came back to it.
Now I am back, because of, I mean, pretty much sponsorship obligations, to put it in simpler terms. But yeah, I mean, I think I feel like I'm at a point in my life where it just feels more like a avenue of the job of being a pro skater versus this thing that has to be personal to me, I guess. So
yeah, I mean, you're not obligated to share your personal life.
Totally. That's what I think. I think the internet and Instagram and everything changed so fast from the course of getting it to when I got off it. Like, I don't think anyone understood what it was turning into. Mm-hmm. And I think I at one point realized that it wasn't something that I wanted to have so much of a, like microscope into my actual personal life with. So
do you think that's got something to do with your childhood and all the things that you've seen and the way people react around you and your father, that you being on social media, not wanting to expose your personal life, is like, I feel like you guys have seen enough.
I just think I just don't care too much to share it with anyone that doesn't have some sort of like importance in my personal life, I guess. You know, like, I just don't care to share things with people that I don't really know, and not because I don't care what they think. It's just
really
more
healthy,
like a personal.
Yeah, no, it's very healthy.
Like what you're doing is.
But I do think that seeing you come back to it and you know, you can share of skate clips and whatever else, like your shoes and things.
Yeah,
I
so you got a new shoe.
Healthier approach. Yeah.
Yeah, we just some new colors of this like mid shoe that we did, which is cool. Yeah.
What's your shoe company?
Lakai. Yeah.
And you got a bunch of new colors?
I have had, this is the third one, and we just did a high top version of it. So.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I completely.
He said high top for your sake, because we skate park.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not supposed to know.
What? No, he just like, you know, he's doing a high top version.
Oh, yeah. So I can wear it.
So yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
You could. Yeah.
I can wear a low top. I mean, sorry, a low.
Why? We got to keep it real, Jason. Revert skaters.
I do need them. My ankles melt off.
Thank you.
Appreciate
that. I get where, you know, companies, from a company standpoint, it makes sense to have this person that you're investing this time and money into to be able to promote the product you guys are creating together. So.
If you didn't have a new Instagram, I wouldn't know that you have a new shoe that's
totally,
a high top. So
there is a sacrifice that comes with both sides of it, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I think just not having it for a while helped me just kind of get back to a place that I needed to get mentally, and so it allows me to come back to it with almost a different type of outlook on how to use it, which feels good for sure.
No, it's yeah, it's very healthy.
Yeah,
man, you're way ahead of me in that one. I tell everybody everything on there. I'm an idiot.
You overshare.
But that's a part, that's just what I think nowadays, that's just, that's like normal, you know, and it's not a, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's just
no.
A normal thing.
Yeah, I know.
I think this is more, no, I say you overshare just because you're opening yourself up to mad criticism. And
yeah.
I just think it's one of those things where if you're opening up for the positive reinforcement, you're going to get the negative too. So
My one is, yeah. I
no,
feel
no,
like.
Not pats on the back.
I got problems and I'm dealing with them. And if people see me dealing with them and coming back on top after going through it, then that means they can do it too.
Totally.
And I know that sometimes oversharing, there's a, like you both said, so there's negative there.
It's
but
a fine line.
Yeah. I mean, when you're the spokesperson for something, there's going to always be a lot of controversy no matter what.
Yeah.
So, but I even just having had it for a little bit now already, I've, you know, been able to connect with people that I'm,
right,
hadn't thought about in a long time, and that aspect is cool to, like, right, oh yeah, I haven't talked to so and so in a while, and I don't think that, you know, you can have those type of connections naturally without having that, which is a positive of it. So.
Yeah,
because you're gonna, if you just, you know, you don't see any of that stuff, you're gonna, you're just kind of living in the bubble that you're in.
Right, my family's in Australia, and I see like
exactly
things that if it wasn't for Instagram. Yeah. I wouldn't, you know what I mean? I've got nieces and nephews, and if it wasn't for that, like, my brother's not a guy that's going to send me a photo of anything.
Yeah.
But because his wife posts stuff, not him,
yeah,
I know that I have nieces and nephews.
Yeah,
so
yeah, no.
That's
I think,
a good thing.
And not having it for a while has kind of reprogrammed my brain where I forget to share stuff with people, right, like, in my life. Because it almost feels weird sending someone something that maybe I've accomplished or done, because if it's just directly to someone, it feels almost this almost like you're bragging or you boasting or
them,
something.
You want,
but
them,
when you do it online, it's back, more of just like, that's part of that whole thing, you know? But I have it set on mine where it'll tell you once you've reached a certain amount of time looking at it. And then I just don't look at it anymore. Cause it makes me think about, using the time more wisely.
Crazy.
Yeah.
This guy is so far ahead of us. It's insane. I'm like, you can do that?
That's it. We have to end it there. Where he just blew our minds teaching us about life.
So
you
bad.
You would be shocked at the number, too, that,
that
it's set to.
I don't want to show you the number of how long I look at that stupid thing.
Yeah.
But I don't even want to know.
I did that because I know that I'll
get lost.
It pulls you
into it. Yeah.
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 So it makes me at least just use the time more wisely on there, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of time on social media, I have to go pick up your youngest sister.
What time is it?
Play rehearsals very soon. So I have to wrap it up.
3:20.
And she spends the most time on there.
Well, it's her era.
It's her era.
That is, yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Second nature.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Riley, thanks for coming.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, thanks for doing the show.
Yes. Sorry we had to get delayed for
No, I'm
for
sorry.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad we did it now and not that day.
Yeah.
That would have been foggy.
I might have had a little less to offer.
Yeah.
Or I might have said stuff that nobody
could have been more entertaining.
Maybe. For you, maybe.
We could have gone sideways quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Riley.
It's just my name with, I think, two underscores. We're trying to get back the
original
name.
Yeah, someone kind of parked his name.
Someone has it, so if not, it's just that. If you just type in Riley Hawk, you'll find it.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Riley.
Thanks, dude.
Thank Very you. Proud of you.
Thank you.
I love you. Thank
love you.
Aw. You guys are so gay. It's awesome.
Actually, you are.
Like and describe. Got me.
Like and describe is what you said?
Yeah.
We said that once by accident, and then that just stuck.